This is PFW in Progress.
Look awful. Those clothes. Those shoes. You smell.
Do you realize where I've been since yesterday? They beat me up and stole my clothes. Those men wanted to have sex with me.
PFW in Progress with Fred Kirsch.
Think big. Think positive. Never show any sign of weakness. Always go for the throat. Buy low, sell high. Fear, that's the other guy's problem.
Nothing you have ever experienced can prepare you for the unbridled carnage you're about to witness. Right. Super Bowl, the World Series, they don't know what pressure is. In this building, it's either kill or be killed.
Paul Perillo.
Happy New Year!
Oh, that's kind of you, son. And a Happy New Year to you, too. Could I offer either of you two gentlemen a wee jolt of Irish whiskey to usher in the new year?
Deep Jackie!
Sorry, thank you very much. No, it gives me the wind, something terrible.
Oh.
And Andy. And Andy?
A jacuzzi, sir.
See, man, I knew y'all was man. You can jacuzzi nobody.
It's a whirlpool bath, sir. I think you'll enjoy it.
Andy Hart.
Hey, bubbles, man. Say, man, when I was growing up, we wanted jacuzzi. We had to fart in the tub. This is bad.
Some guy named Tom.
Merry New Year!
Happy New Year. In this country, we say Happy New Year.
Thank you for correcting my English with stink. Keep checking time.
And you never know, Lori might stop by.
Look, I'm 24 years old and from a small, miserable little mining town you probably never heard of. The only thing I got going for me in this whole big, wide world is this body, this face, and what I got up here. I don't do drugs. I've saved $42,000 and it's in T-bills, earning interest. I figure I got 3 more years on my back. I'll have enough to retire on.
PFW in Progress.
Looking good, Billy Ray!
Feeling good, Lewis!
PFW in Progress, Thursday afternoon in October, bye week. Not a lot going on today at Gillette Stadium. Paul Perillo, Andy Hart, just made our way down from the offices. Looks like the movie is... pulling out a little bit, Gary? What's the deal out there? There's not a lot of activity. No football players lined up. No rock.
Weather-related, maybe?
Maybe they got washed out. Maybe the script didn't call for a soggy, sloppy, disgusting field.
They're in trouble then.
Then you came to the wrong place. But PFW in Progress, as I said, the bye week. The players are now off and strewn about the country, wherever they may be on their vacations. And we talked to some of them yesterday about different things are going. Some going to see their alma maters play. Some going to their homes, some going to visit their movie star girlfriends in New York. Which one's that, I wonder? Bill Belichick probably looking to find a couch somewhere and take in a Cardinals game so he can support his good buddy Tony La Russa. But Paul Perillo and Andy Hart are here in the bowels of Gillette Stadium enjoying no day off. Hard at work.
No bye week for us.
Putting out a bye week edition of Patriots Football Weekly and chatting with Patriots fans here on PFW in Progress. If you want to join the mix and give us your thoughts during this bye week, pretty much the floor is open to any discussion, any topics, the passing
call it a
game.
Free form Thursday?
Free form Thursday for the first hour anyway. The second hour we'll be joined by Fred Kirsch and Tom Casale, and we will do our usual around the NFL picks, which this week obviously will not include a selection of a Patriots game because there is no Patriots game during the bye week. If you want to join us, webradio@patriots.com, webradio@patriots.com. You want to give us a phone call, 508-543-7482, 508-543-7482.
You know, back to the movie for a second, Andy. What do they do on stuff like that? Do they actually, you know, assuming that they didn't get everything that they needed to shoot, you know, in one day, obviously, you know, I'm guessing they have a lot of different stuff to shoot. Are they really, you know, I guess they're really at the mercy of the weather then, because if it was sunny out on Wednesday and they try to shoot on Thursday and it's cloudy and, you know, right now it's pretty overcast, it had rained last night, they just, you know, are they kind of screwed there? How
probably, in this situation. I think in most situations they would wait, but because of the time constraints here and the availability of the facility, the fact that they got backed up with the Rock's Achilles injury, you know, that wouldn't have been an issue back when they wanted to do it this summer. They probably would have had more free reign of the stadium, would have had a little leeway.
Plus a better chance to have
grass on the field.
Well, more consecutive days
right.
of the same weather.
To, you know, with this, I don't know exactly what they do, whether they tweak the script and say, you know what, it might have to be a little drizzly, or it seems like they've pulled out,
Gary,
as
Gary, you're
I said.
A worldly sort. You must know about these things. What do they do?
I have no idea. I don't have the slightest idea.
I didn't ask for Bill's opinion. I asked for Gary's.
I echo Bill's sentiments.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know.
Because as you know, Andy, I am a veteran of the
your
movies
former,
and TV world.
You're a former SAG?
I am not a member of SAG.
But you are a... How many movies were you in?
I was only in one movie. Commercials. I've done some commercials. You might have seen some of my work in commercials. But yeah. I told you, I didn't make it in, I don't think.
On quite the resume.
With, I forget the name of the movie again. With
must have been really good, really interesting.
Courtney Cox and Julie Brown.
Cox.
And Kevin,
the opposite sex and how to
the
live
opposite,
with them.
The opposite sex. Kevin Pollak and Ari Gross. Those were the four main characters in the movie.
Good.
They shot some
straight
scenes.
Straight to
at,
DVD?
I went to the movies. I didn't make it in, that's all. They shot some scenes at Fenway Park and they needed some baseball players. And
they couldn't find any.
They wouldn't.
Called you.
They couldn't find any, so they got me.
So they found a guy who threw 81 miles an hour.
Thanks for stepping on my punchline, but that's okay.
WebRadioPatriots.com.
You know, for most people, it would have been a big thrill to just go down and put on a Red Sox uniform and, pretend that you're playing, actually put on a Toronto Blue Jays uniform, but that was okay. And actually even pretend you're playing baseball at Fenway Park. But since I really did play baseball at Fenway Park, it wasn't, as big a thrill for me as it might have been for someone, of your
stature. Called
that
playing? How many home runs have you given up in Fenway Park?
I didn't give up any. No one even hit the wall, Andy.
How many runs did you give up in Fenway Park?
I gave up a few runs.
Few. Kind of like you had a few wins over the course of your four-year career?
I think I gave up, I can't remember exactly. I think I gave up five runs in like six in the third or something like that.
Scintillating radio here at Patriots.com, looking back at Paul Perillo's
I took the L.
disappointing collegiate baseball career at Boston University.
You know who I lost to at Fenway Park, right?
A pitcher who was better than you.
No. The team. The school that I lost to.
No idea. Northeastern.
There you go. One of my teammates accused me of throwing the game.
Yeah, there's a lot of throwing of games in meaningless college baseball games.
Why are you so muffled?
I don't know. Am I muffled? What's the problem?
You're going
get your
out.
Ears, Gramps. No offense. WebRadioPatriots.com. If you'd like us to stop talking about Paul's dismal baseball career, send us your thoughts on the Patriots. As I said, everything is up for debate. The passing game. Ben Watson leading the way with 16 receptions. Is that good enough? Have you been disappointed in Tom Brady's production? Lawrence Maroney, superstar, budding superstar, or inconsistent rookie who's had some great games and some dismal performances, despite what Bill Belichick said about him getting the yards that were there on Monday. I saw those quotes. Did you see those? Bill talked a little bit about that. He thought he had a pretty decent game taking the yardage that was available to him.
I also saw that he made a big deal out of the one run at the end of the game when the game was over, where he caught the edge, got the side. I think it was an 11-yard run, and he kind of made a big deal about that. And, you keep running. And I understand as a coach, all the plays are important, but that play wasn't important.
11-yard run, that was a third of his production
for
the
day. It was a third and seven at the end of the game when there was no timeouts left for the Dolphins. They were deep in Dolphins territory, and I just think Miami, that 10 points down, the game was over. That to me was not indicative of the way the game was played.
Another topic that's up for debate and discussion would be another rookie. Young Chad Jackson apparently is quite a sensation on the internet, fueled by some comments made here on this very PFW in Progress program earlier this year. Tom Casale and his observations from the gala. The New
Look
England
at
Patriots
that douchebag.
Kickoff gala. Those comments sort of corroborated by John Tomasi's story yesterday. And the incident at the gala and overall questions about Chad Jackson's maturity that have been brought up by a number of different people, Peter King on different levels, us here on the radio program. But apparently that's become quite a topic on some of the chat rooms here in Patriots Nation. So if you'd like to chime in on Chad Jackson, what you think of his first five NFL games, his comments the other day, what you expect from him moving forward this season, as he will be, in my eyes, the key to the passing game as they move forward, as much as, you know, you'd hope and expect some improvement from others, Rishe Caldwell, Jabbar Gaffney, as he learns the system this week in a crash course. I think, really, even Doug Gabriel isn't to that level where I think Chad Jackson can be the difference for this passing game. But he needs to get out there and prove it, and it's a question is what's holding him back from doing that. Is it the hamstring? Is it immaturity? Is it that he's just a rookie? Combination of all those things. What say you, Paul?
Well, I think that I totally agree with your point about Jackson being the one guy that can make a difference, and that's not to mean any disrespect to any of the other receivers on the list that you just rattled off, but in my opinion, if the Patriots' passing game is to take a step to that level of, you know, consistency at a championship level, Chad Jackson is going to have to be the guy that establishes a level of consistency and brings the group up. I think he can stretch the field. I think he can make tough catches over the middle. I think that he could be the number one guy. Now, it may be unfair to expect that to happen now based on, you know, his whole tumultuous first month plus as a pro. But I think somewhere down the line, he's the guy that we're going to be talking about as the number one guy.
WebRadioPatriots.com. And as always, if you're in the area or if you're just a kind-hearted Patriots fan and want to put in a call to a local food establishment and have some food delivered here to the stadium. We're in the radio studio. Have them stop the security shack and contact Gary Gudecki.
Just go to the security. Just say, this is for Paul and Andy. They'll know.
Gary will make sure it gets to us, and we will send a shout-out to you. And we'd be greatly appreciative. That offer also goes out to Fred Kirsch, who may or may not be listening upstairs and could bring us lunch when he comes down in the second portion of the show, the second hour.
Didn't see a lot of Fred Kirsch.
He's probably got special secret projects he's working on in the bowels elsewhere of Gillette Stadium. But anything else we need to get to? Any news surrounding this team right now? Not a whole heck of a lot.
No, I don't think there was any news in the papers today, did you?
You know, Danny Bogger settling in as the practice squad punter, as an insurance policy. Down the line, if they need a punter, a Ray guy, finalist, a guy with some talent, who knows how that works out. Maybe they get impressed with him on the practice squad this year. Maybe you have an open competition next summer in training camp. Josh Miller, as an 11-year veteran, making well beyond what a first-year punter would make in this league. And if you ever felt like you could maintain the same production or upgrade at a far lesser cost, maybe that's something to keep an eye on down the line.
And when you have Tom Brady as your quarterback, you don't really need to punt all that often.
How's that worked out for you? Dude only completes like 50% of his passes now.
All right. That's enough.
If you want to, we can rip Tom Brady for a while, as actually it's gone the other way on Patriots.com. We've defended him, and fans seem to be upset that we are making excuses for the two-time Super Bowl MVP quarterback who has led this franchise to its success over recent years. All of a sudden, fans are somewhat willing to question his abilities and what's going on with him right now and why he's not throwing passes, why he's not turning Rishe Caldwell and Doug Gabriel and other journeyman receivers into Pro Bowlers overnight. There seems to be some blame being thrown at number 12, and I think it's misguided.
Well, I just took it as further proof that no matter what we offer up as our opinions, with, you know, we being Tom, Andy, and myself, whether they be here or on the SPFWs, yeah, we're going to get criticized because, you know, we've been really, and I think we all believe it. I don't think we're spouting any company line. We really believe that the passing game's inconsistency has very little to do so far with Tom Brady, and all of a sudden we're getting emails just killing us for not, quote unquote, telling it like it is and criticizing Brady because he's not played well. You know, I just think it's maybe exhibit A of no matter what we say, they're going to disagree with us. So what are you going to do? I don't want to get into a whole Tom Brady referendum here because now everybody's like, you know, oh, how quickly we forget. Now, I think we all know how great Tom Brady is. No need to spend much time talking about that.
The best there is. Although Donovan McNabb is making a push in the early going of 2006 with some tremendous performances with his own questionable group of wide receivers and weapons.
That's a very questionable group of performers in general. The only thing I'd say to defend him is that he at least has had the opportunity to work with those guys.
No question.
And Brady hasn't. But you know, what McNabb has done so far. Now, I watched a lot of the game on Sunday. I think that there was a lot of luck involved. I think if Roy Williams hasn't taken a trip to the optometrist yet, he should, because I think he's blind, because otherwise he would have had three interceptions in that game. He just couldn't. I don't really know how he missed the ball on some of those plays. Sarm did the same thing in a Monday night game last year against Washington, just taking poor angles. And Tom's been very critical of Roy Williams, and I kind of defended him a little bit, but that was as bad a game as I've seen a safety play in this league.
And as always, when I'm hosting the show, especially during a bye week, Spanish Channel's on in the background, and Shakira is the topic of the day, yet again. And if you want to chime in on Shakira and how hot she is, we'll always take those emails as well.
We can never have too much.
Webradio@patriots.com, webradio@patriots.com, and I think we're going to kick off.
You know I don't speak Spanish.
I don't need to speak Spanish. As I told you last week, Gary, she speaks the universal language of hot, but not amor.
But not amor.
Because that is, in fact, Spanish.
Because evidently universal can't be another language.
Nick Blydesdell checking in, and he says, no more Fred. I know you guys have a job to do, but when you left on Monday, Fred went on just under a 9-minute rant about T.O. and the Cowboys. Please don't leave him on his own again. I couldn't believe I was hoping for Gary to chime in. Yikes. We do apologize for that, but due to the circumstances of the week, we had to leave Fred alone. No, we had to get to the locker room, the schedule. We had to, there was the only access of the week before the players left. And I do apologize because I would not wish that on anyone to have Fred be the only voice you hear on this show. I understand how difficult that must have been for you. And as I said, I apologize wholeheartedly.
What the problem with Fred is, he really legitimately takes more pleasure in other people's / teams' misfortunes.
Than
he does in his own team's success. Like it's strange to see. He actually gets happy when he learns of an injury to somebody. I'm sure that he's happy right now that Damian Woody's out for the year. I'm sure that's going to draw a big chuckle from him.
I guarantee he chuckled when he first saw that. Okay. Guarantee.
Yeah, you know, and he gets very excited about that.
Wow!
You know, the Cowboys' complete collapse and Bledsoe's complete collapse in that game on Sunday, that makes him happier than the Patriots beating Miami.
I'm so danged excited.
That's
I'm
the problem.
Wetting
that's
my
the
pants.
Problem in a nutshell with Fred.
Continued on with Nick here. I was listening to you talk about Tom's worst games, Brady that is, and I took a look at his record. I didn't create a worst game list, but I did write down what teams he's lost to. Tom's lost 23 games in his career, which is amazing, and 9 of them were against Denver or Miami, 5 to the Broncos, 4 to the Dolphins. Off the top of your heads, can you name the 4 NFC teams Tom's lost to? Keep it up, guys. No more Fred. Nick from San Diego.
4 NFC teams that Tom Brady has lost to. Washington.
Yep.
2003. Green Bay in 2002. St. Louis in 2001. And Carolina last year.
That's the one I couldn't think of. The most recent one. Because I could think of 3, but not 4. Well done, Paul Perillo. You're a genius. Joining us on the line now is John from Palm Bay, Florida. John, what's going on?
Hey, not much. I have a quick question. Do you know how much, like, when a Patriots sign a guy to the practice squad or the regular roster for a couple weeks, like the whole Hank Poteet, and they cut him 2-3 weeks later, how that affects the salary cap? And then,
well, all you're responsible for, well, first of all, there are two different things. Practice squad, generally practice squad players make $4,700 a week. They do count towards the salary cap. It is week to week. All NFL players are paid on a weekly basis. They literally get game checks. They get 1/17 of their salary each week of the season. And when you sign a guy like Hank Poteet, a veteran, generally you're signing him to a veteran minimum deal. So for every week he's on your roster, you're paying him 1/17 of that veteran minimum, whatever it might be, $500,000, $800,000. At some point, Paul, I don't know if you can clarify this, there is certain veterans, once you've reached a certain status in the league, you become a vested veteran. And if you're on the roster to start the season, you can be guaranteed your whole season salary. And if you are on the roster for a certain number of weeks, you can be guaranteed the remainder of your salary. Paul, do you remember how many weeks that is?
I believe I think there's a couple of different things. Now, I think that when you have 4 years or more, that's how you become vested. Once you have 4 years in the league, if you open the season on an active roster, then you're guaranteed your salary for that year. Now, I think in a case like Poteet, he needed to be, and I'm not sure on this, I think he needed to be on a roster for three consecutive weeks. He didn't open the season, obviously,
right.
So he doesn't get that vested option there. But I think if he spends more than 3 weeks on a team's roster, then he would have been due his yearly salary. I'm guessing on this. I'm not sure on that last part with Poteet, but I think the Patriots probably just owed him the two game checks that he earned.
Right.
While playing.
So it is a relatively small amount of money when you're talking about a $102 million salary cap.
And have you guys heard a friend of mine online yesterday said that he heard that Indianapolis might be getting ready to put Vinatieri on the IR for the year. Have you guys heard anything like that?
I have not heard that either.
In fact, didn't they release Gramatica again?
No, they re-signed him.
They re-signed him, but and he's still on the roster now?
As far as I knew.
Okay, yeah. I hadn't heard the IR thing, but Gary will try to look into that, and we'll see if we can update you later in the show.
I have not seen that, and I did see the Wire reports recap, the NFL recaps in the local papers today, and didn't have anything about Vinatieri.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, John.
That was John, a new regular and favorite here at PFW in Progress.
Yeah, no, John's big time.
Palm Bay, Florida. Anybody know where that is? Gary, you go to Florida a lot. No, that's too, you're not, that's not hip enough for you. You're more
Florida, that's,
Vegas, California, that's Hawaii. That's where Gary will retire to in 40 years. Ooh, 40? He's a little older, maybe 25. Andy Jiris in Sioux City, Iowa. Guys, I would like to hear how you think the play calling is going, and what do you think is, and who do you think is calling most of the plays? Do you think they're, think we are as good at calling as we were when Charlie was here? I'm embarrassed to say I can't say who the offensive coordinator is off the top of my head, and I consider myself an informed fan. I feel like our play calling is improved, but what percentage of the plays is Belichick, Brady, and the offensive coordinator I can't think of calling? I still don't feel as comfortable with our play calling as I did when Charlie was here. Keep up the great work. Getting PFW in my mailbox is better than getting Playboy.
Oh, boy. Josh McDaniels,
that's
the offensive
wrong,
coordinator.
Andy. That's wrong. Playboy is a very good publication.
Josh McDaniels, the offensive coordinator. Do you think there's, you know, there's been some whispers about that. There was an item in the USA Today recently talking about the lack of imagination with the Patriots offense. Have you noticed? I mean, I don't think that the offense can be, the play calling can be the same as it was under Charlie Weiss with all the experience that he had. But have you had much of a problem?
No, I haven't. I think it's been okay. I don't think it's been spectacular. I think it's been okay. And I kind of, this falls into my whole Tom Brady thing. When your offense isn't working that well, when the timing isn't there, when it's not an in-sync unit in terms of both the passing game and the running game, I'm not sure your whole playbook is really open to you with the personnel you have and the confidence you have. You might be working under a somewhat limited playbook at this portion of the season.
And two things I'll say, and one of them to definitely back your point that you just said, last year, I thought the offense was outstanding. I don't remember anybody complaining when they had to score 30 points every game just to win because they were giving up so many early in the season. The win in Atlanta, for example, the 31-28 game. I don't remember people complaining about the offense then. Same guy, Josh McDaniels, calling the plays. Number two, I would say people forget that we were often critical of individual play calls under Charlie Weiss. Third and seven, when the direct snap to Kevin Faulk didn't work, we would be like, how many times are they going to go to the well with that play? You know, why are we always trying to trick them? You know,
those trickerization plays are interesting.
All of a sudden, you have a draw or a screen that doesn't work, and people are wondering why we're calling so many draws and screens. And now, you know, I just think that people forget that we often questioned individual play calls from time to time as well in the past. But I agree with your point about...
So you're not ready to jump all over Josh McDaniels
yet?
No. Even though he clearly, while we're defending Tom Brady, he clearly doesn't have the resume or the track record to defend him.
No, but he doesn't have the weapons either.
And in terms of the percentage, I'm assuming virtually all the plays are called by him. Obviously, Belichick has input and oversees it all. But I think that input comes more Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, what we're going to do in X, Y, and Z situations. And McDaniels makes the call during the game, although they clearly communicate.
And I'll give you the other thing, too. You know, when I think it's very easy to just, you know, to lash out and criticize the guy calling the plays, but they just don't have, you know, you don't have the same thing. You don't have the same weapons to your disposal. You know, I hear a lot of people say, for example, Andy, in 2001, they didn't have great weapons on offense either. They had Antoine Smith, Troy Brown, and David Patton. They didn't have, but you know what? They didn't have a very good offense in 2001. Ultimately, it ended up being good enough to win the Super Bowl.
But
it was because of defense and special teams, not because of offense.
Are people willing to admit that, and are they looking for some trickerization? Are they looking for the David Patton, the wacky plays in Indy? And are they looking for a little bit more of that, saying, you know what, we understand as fans, maybe you don't have the personnel. Does that require that you be a little more creative, do some more quirky things?
I don't know. I see, you know, a couple of variations of these direct snaps that I haven't seen. You know, one when, you know, I think it went right to Falk, and then he handed it off to Chad Jackson.
Yep.
You know, I mean, I hadn't seen that play.
But
I mean, I've seen some imagining.
We haven't seen the screens, and that's supposed to be a strength of this team.
Yeah, I think that the screens that we've seen have been bottled up. I don't think they've been as successful. Now that we haven't seen the tight end screen,
have we seen enough?
That was very successful last year.
To me, this team was always pretty good at screening. You have the personnel there to screen. You still have Tom Brady. You still have Kevin Falk.
Yep.
You still have Ben Watson. You still have Daniel Graham. You still have the guards. They're all the same or better than they've been in the past.
I agree.
Is that one of those things where you say, this needs to be a part of our game, so we're going to do it. You bottle it up a couple times, we're going to stick with it, and this is a strength of our team.
I would agree with you, but I would also say at the same time, maybe it's a little bit. Look, I agree with you. I think that they probably could call a few more screens here and there, even though the ones that they have called haven't been nearly as successful as they have been in the past. But might it also be a situation where they don't have the wide receivers that they've had in the past, you know, in more so in the recent past, you know, 03, 04, 05, to get, you know, maybe to sell those screens, you know, to get the guys downfield and maybe clear out some defenders. Maybe, you know, there's more guys at or around the line of scrimmage to stop the run, and that makes it a little bit more difficult to screen against. I don't know. I mean, you're more of a football mind than I am, Andy. If teams are you know, jamming the box with maybe an extra safety, does that work against a potential screen? It's not like they're getting...
There's an extra guy there.
Now, they're definitely getting blitzed a lot more in passing situations, which I would think would work for, you know, screens. I mean, I think you would welcome a blitz against the screen. So, I don't know. Maybe they haven't called as many in the past. Maybe they should be calling more, but I don't necessarily put this on Josh McDaniels.
PJ Nacharelli's up next and wants to talk a little Randy Moss. It's always exciting. I like Randy Moss, Chad. Hey, guys, I heard Fred and Tom wondering if they would want Randy Moss here if the opportunity arose. Tom was on board, and Fred was gushing over him.
Fred was gushing over taking on Randy Moss?
Tom was on board. I just had an argument with him the other day. He said he didn't want him.
Yeah, I don't think that was the case.
Boy, is Tom just flip-flop, flip-flop, flip-flop. Like a cheap pair of sandals you buy at Walmart.
I wasn't even talking about Tom.
Maybe
I'm talking about Fred. I just can't imagine Fred wanted Randy Moss on the team.
Maybe I'm jaded because I live in Philly and I see what Terrell Owens did to this team, but I don't want any part of Randy Moss. Fred was saying that all of his incidents were no big deal. He even said that when he got pulled over, that it might have been for driving while black. I can't believe Fred is making excuses for this guy already, and he isn't even ever going to be a Patriot anyway. Not only is he a bad guy, he is notorious for taking plays off that aren't designed for him. This would be a bad move,
like
although I know BB would have nothing to do with him. Although I know BB would have nothing to do with him. I said the same thing about Andy Reid and T.O. too. Great show, guys. Keep up the good work. P.S. Hey, Tom, this is your paisano friend, so just give me the word, and that moderator at PatriotsFans.com will sleep with the fishes.
Good job, PJ.
I don't
want Randy Moss on the team because you know my feelings on those things. However, I don't think that I have confidence that if they did get him, that the Patriots could get him to play.
I also think if they could get him at the right deal, they'd take him.
Oh, I know they would take him. I don't even think that's a question.
And
if Bill Belichick could get him on his terms, he would take him in a heartbeat.
I don't necessarily mind him because I think there's a lot of guys in this, not a lot of guys, I think there's guys in this locker room that could be bad guys in the wrong situation, but you know what, they're here, they're winning, you know, if they do step out of line a little bit, maybe Rodney Harrison says, stop being an idiot. You know, I think it's a good situation for some of those guys to be in. And I think Randy Moss could have success here. I think Randy Moss would, you know, love to catch balls from Tom Brady. I think it would be an interesting dynamic for the team. I know he has high salaries, so there's probably not a great chance of it happening unless he wanted to lower his salary to come here.
Yeah, well, that's the whole thing, you know, on Bill's terms. It's not. It would be salary that would be the biggest stumbling block. I don't think that he would want a wide receiver coming in here making the kind of money that Randy Moss does.
I got a couple from Tom Casale, you know, who will be down here in 28 minutes.
Is he bringing food?
Doesn't say that, but it says, the Fred email, best email ever. I can't stop laughing. And then he chimes back in with another one that says, please read, Andy. I wasn't on board with Moss. We just threw it out there. So he was not on board with Moss. Okay, he's sticking with his argument.
Oh, that's quick.
From the
what
paper.
Happened to the latency of the internet that you all
There's no
about?
Such latency. Were you here the day we proved it? We had a caller who had his computer on too loud in the background, and we could hear ourselves like 2 seconds later. So there's no latency. Oh, it was the day Gary couldn't work the mic and was struggling to. Oh, no, was it the doctor? No, it was the doctor who was behind the glass, and we had. Craig on forever.
Now it's just like an unrelated stream of consciousness.
No, we had Craig on forever.
Struggling.
It was one of those embarrassing radio things where we go, hey, Craig, and he can't hear us, so he doesn't say anything, and we go back and forth five times.
Andy, you're full of crap.
There's a surprise.
Checking in now, Michael in Boston. Hey, Mike, what's going on?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good. First time caller?
Yeah, first time caller.
Well, welcome aboard.
Oh, thank you, guys. Yeah, I listened to the show yesterday, and Tom and they were talking about the possibility of getting Randy Moss, and now I think that that's completely absurd, and I don't know, I don't think he'd have the team. He'd just cause a lot of problems, you know, circa T.O. or circa any of those other receivers that cause those kind of problems on teams. But I'm more interested in Calvin Johnson. I've watched him over the last five games after you guys mentioned him about a month ago, and I mean, this guy is unbelievable. I've never seen a college receiver do the things he does. He just seems to be able to go up and get the ball, get open in the open fields, has that fifth gear to kick it out. It's just, I don't know. He's
a stud. He's a very good wide receiver.
That's so why he's going to be a top 10 pick.
I was going to say, he's probably a top 10 pick. So
yeah, you would have to be, and they may have the ammo. Yeah, they're going to have a couple picks. If they really, really wanted to, they could probably get up there next April. I don't think they would do that for a receiver. I think they hope they drafted sort of that guy in the second round this year in Chad Jackson. I don't know how much they'd be willing to commit to the receiver position. They just let two of them go, and now you'd be a second-round pick 1 year and then multiple first-round picks the next year to get a guy. I don't think there's any question he is a star talent coming out of college. I just don't think you'll see him here.
Yeah. So what do you guys think after the Chad Jackson comments that, you know, that... I mean, I watched the interview with him on one of the, I don't know, I think it was the Boston Globe site, and he seemed that he was kind of refraining himself, that he really, really wanted to kind of lash out, but he was, you know, bringing himself back and everything.
I got that impression as well. Andy was in on that interview, and he said the same thing. I felt in reading the comments that, and kind of seeing, I didn't see as much of the interview up close as Andy did, but I felt like he was trying his best to, what are you, down the beach there, Michael?
No, I'm looking out my window in Austin.
Oh, there are nice birds flying by?
Yeah, there are birds all over the place.
As someone who spent a lot of time at Kelly's Roast Beef down Revere Beach, that's what it sounds like, right there.
Wow. There you go, come down to Austin and you'll get the same thing.
What are you, a BU guy?
Yeah, the BU guy.
Oh, there you go. He's in Austin. Yeah, that's where I went to school, unfortunately. And now I'm here, so that shows you what you get out of that.
Hey, whatever, man. I'd love to have your job.
Not the bank accounts, my friend.
Oh, well, whatever. It's still a cool job. You're the voice of the Patriots Nation.
Oh, there you go. All right. Save that one, Renee.
All right, Mike. Thanks for joining us, and give us a call back anytime.
I'll try. All right, thank you.
Good stuff, Mike. I was just going to say, you know, before we let him go, the whole Randy Moss thing, and I'm not an advocate of this. You know how I am, Andy. I'm very consistent and very stubborn. I don't like bad guys, okay? I don't like to have bad guys on my team.
But is he a bad guy, or
this is what I'm going to get to.
I don't consider a punk necessarily a bad guy.
I'm going to kind of refute my own thing. All these Patriots fans, and I hear Michael's point of view is, without question, the overwhelming point of view of Patriots fans. I would simply ask you this. What's the difference between Randy Moss and Corey Dillon? And my answer to that is very, very
Nothing.
Little. Very, very little.
Just, Corey that's Dillon, also Bill Belichick's answer.
Everything that people are saying about Randy Moss right now, people said about Corey Dillon before he came here. And he has not been a problem. I am not the biggest Corey Dillon fan in the world, but he has not been a problem.
And in terms of off-field transgressions, Corey Dillon's were worse than Randy Moss's.
Well, with the exception of possibly before Randy Moss ever got to college.
I don't think so.
I don't want to really.
From what I've looked into, or at least on the record, Corey Dillon's were.
There may have been a hate crime involved with Randy Moss that we don't really.
I think Corey Dillon's record prior to getting to the NFL and even a couple times in the NFL is as bad as anyone.
Well, I agree. I mean, you're not.
I think Moss's
is
well below that.
Well, certainly not the frequency that
right.
Dillon had, without question. But that's my point is, you know, you were able to do it with Dillon. Everybody's let's take all the arrests off the board. Let's take all the off-field behavior off
and
the board.
And both players have been basically clean for quite a significant period of time.
But let's
now.
Just talk about on the field. Everybody says Randy Moss takes plays off. Randy Moss isn't a team player. Randy Moss doesn't always try hard. Randy Moss doesn't care about winning. These are the same exact things that people said about Corey Dillon. It was about Corey Dillon in Cincinnati. And then people say now they defend Dillon and say, well, all he was doing was losing. Well, what do you think the problem with Randy Moss is? He's on the Oakland Raiders right now. When he was in Minnesota and they were winning, he was one of the most productive receivers in football. You know, these kinds of things that happen, like, Corey Dillon took his uniform off and stormed off the field and threw his equipment into the stands because he was so frustrated over losing. Randy Moss left a game before it was over. In a game, by the way, they had no chance to win. No chance to win. The game was over, and everything except for time elapsed. Randy Moss, Patriots fans, kill for that right now, but they overlook it with Dillon because Dillon's here now, and he's been, you know, pretty much a model citizen as a Patriot. I don't have any doubt if Bill Belichick was Randy Moss's coach, that Randy Moss would be a productive player. All of that said, I'm not necessarily advocating going out to get Randy Moss. I think it would cost too much money. I think it would be too much of a circus. And I'm not, you know, as a professional, as a writer, I would love to see it happen. But as a Patriots fan, I want no part of it.
By the way, Michael from BU also emailed in his Calvin Johnson thing, so I won't read it because obviously we kind of covered it.
That's actually why I knew that he was a BU guy, because I saw that there was a guy talking about Calvin Johnson with a BU email address.
But he says, by the way, every combo is the A-team. That's good sucking up right there.
That's, Michael, you can get a long way in this world. You want a cool job like this, you can get a long way in this world with that kind of sucking up.
But we all know that Fred can never be included in any grouping that's considered the A-team.
Yeah, that's the only place that you went wrong. However, by including Fred, you could actually get a cool job like this.
That's true.
Because he's the one who has the hiring power.
And Lord only knows who and when he's going to hire somebody.
Right. You know, I'll give you my
don't
secret.
Believe it. Just ask the intern that we have here. We're all shocked he's still here.
Including him.
Yes. Jason W., subject, the field, personnel, running game. Guys, what is the latest about the field? Do they have any chance of resodding it? If not now, can this be done in December? Why do many think that Coach B likes it that way when the team loses much speed overall in these conditions? Isn't the field different than in past years? I know the field was terrible with large clumps of sod becoming loose, but this year, isn't it more little grass and sand that is the problem? Won't this become worse as the months go on?
The only thing I would say about it being worse right now is that it's, in my opinion, it's worse earlier in the season right now
than it ever has been.
Yes. I don't think that for example, when this was an issue back in 2003, you know, down the stretch in November and December, I don't think the field was any worse now than it was then. However,
right.
It's more understandable that late in the year, after a year's worth of wear and tear, that it's worse. Now, they play two games in the game, and the field is ridiculous, or three games, actually.
Yes, it can be resodded. It's been resodded in January or late December when they did it that year.
Yeah,
January?
And to answer the question why the people wonder whether or not Belichick likes it like that.
Because it's the truth.
Well, stop it. In 2003, when they did that for the playoff game, Bill was very upset about it. And that's why people think that he liked it like that.
And apparently, he had really bad fields in Cleveland when he was there,
too. The NFL made them resod, and Bill was very upset.
Yes, you said that. Did he have really bad fields in Cleveland when he was there, too?
Well, that field stunk. It was always bad.
And he certainly didn't.
But, I mean, he only coached the Cleveland Browns for 5 years. The Browns never had a good field.
That's a long time, in my opinion.
What about, like, throughout time? Did you ever see that stadium, the old Municipal Stadium?
Mistake by the Lake, right?
Yeah, they're terrible, terrible fields.
Why are you getting mad at me?
Because I don't think that was his fault. I don't think it was necessarily.
So it's not his fault here either?
I didn't say that.
What are you saying? You seem to be covering all your bases there, Paul.
I'm saying that I don't think it's. I think that people are short-sighted if they look at it and say, well, Bill, you know, it slows the team down. And, you know, and they look at people like Maroney and Chad Jackson and stuff like that, and they don't take into consideration, you know, a guy like Rodney Harrison or Teddy Bruschi or some of their defenders who maybe are a little bit older right now and maybe have lost a step.
And maybe were never fast to start with.
Yeah, you know, Ellis Hobbs and Asante Samuel, you know, maybe they're not quite fast, as fast as the receivers they're chasing around.
Interesting, Paul, interesting. Why Danny Bogger? Maybe a punter for the future, or is there a Miller injury? We believe there could be a Miller injury.
Yeah, we noticed. Andy actually was the first to point it out. In Cincinnati, he left the field and you know, shortly before game time with the trainer, and he came back. He obviously punted, whatever, but I'm wondering if maybe there's a situation there that they're concerned about long-term that, you know, may need to be addressed.
We'll lay the simple facts out. He limped off the field with a doctor in Cincinnati, came back, had his worst game of the season to date that week, had another struggling game last week, and they go out and sign a practice squad punter. Put it all together, I think there's a little issue that Josh Miller, as he's limped around, has been dealing with. It might not be something that ever keeps him from missing a game or a kick, but I think you cover your bases and make sure you kind of have a guy ready when one of these things comes up, especially when you've had room on the practice squad. It's not like you've been carrying eight all the way through and you had to cut some guy you really liked just to get him here. So, you know, I think there's an issue, maybe something to just sort of keep a casual eye on as the weeks progress. Maybe it's something that cures itself. Tom's over there fiddling with his joystick.
He's playing Nintendo by himself without the game actually being on. He's just pretending.
Another question. Do you think Gaffney can step in and help the receiving core? What kind of player is he? More a possession receiver or a long bomb threat?
I think he's more of a possession guy. Tom, would you agree with that, being the expert NFL guy that you are? Put the microphone on.
It's on, I believe.
Yeah, I can hear you. Go ahead.
He has, like, some speed. They do use him as a downfield threat. He's awful small, so I don't know how many hits he's going to take going across the middle.
He described himself as a guy who's willing to go across the middle, make the catches in the middle of the field, do some blocking, some of those things. That's
all. Yeah, in college he was more of a big play guy, but in the NFL he hasn't made a lot of big
plays. See, I always thought of him as more of a possession guy. Maybe I was wrong.
Usually you are.
Yeah.
He hasn't made, I mean, it's not like he's made a lot of long receptions since he's been in the NFL, so maybe he's got that Peter Warwick college speed where he looks fast in college and he's not quite as fast in the NFL.
James Edwards checking in, and he wants to talk a little more Turfgate, he calls it, in his email.
Okay.
Just a quick note about the developing Turfgate story. As we all know, the Colts can't resist complaining in the media and to the league about anything they feel the Patriots might use to gain a competitive advantage over them, and the condition of the turf at Gillette Stadium will be no exception. Well, after doing some checking, there are no games or events scheduled at Gillette for at least 2 weeks following the Revolution's last home game this Saturday. And if you haven't gotten your tickets, why not? Get out here to Gillette Stadium. It's a great take. If I were the Patriots, I would make any complaints by the Colts or requests by the league a moot point by going ahead and replacing the turf right after that game, and then it would have 2 full weeks of growing time to get the type of field you would expect to find at one of the best stadiums in the NFL.
Well, they are filming a movie here over that time.
Right. That's true, which I still don't get. Why would you film a movie at a place that doesn't look good? Anyway, now, if the Patriots really believe that it is to their advantage to have the field at its current state, I would then schedule something on the field just a couple days before the Colts game that would chop it right back up. Maybe like a marching band competition where they are required to wear cleats? Didn't they try that last year?
I was going to say, they have done that in the past.
I think one of the interesting, and this is one of those real speculation, conspiracy theories, is that they are throwing it out there for the Colts. That this was a measure to get the talk about the Gillette Stadium field because they want the Colts worrying about it when they come here.
I think that there's definite truth to that. And because the Colts are mentally weak. And these are the kinds of things that would bother them. And I think if you come in here and you look, you know, we all do the same thing, Andy. We watch Peyton Manning before the game, and we see him out there, and you see him looking around and how he, you know, he just, he appears to be affected by the elements, the things around him. And I just think that he is a guy that you could definitely, you know, the team
and their
itself,
GM is. Their GM fuels this sort of stuff by placing importance on it.
Absolutely. You get in their head.
No question.
I think there's nothing wrong with it. It's good gamesmanship.
Blitzkrieg is a subject from Josh in Burlington, Vermont. I figured that against the Dolphins, the Pats would blitz more. I rarely, if ever, saw more than four men rushing the passer. Did you guys notice this? And if so, why the low-pressure strategy?
Good receivers.
And
for all their struggles, I think Miami has a pretty good set of wide receivers. And I think if you blitz them a lot, I think you're opening yourself up to big plays.
And I also don't think you necessarily respect the quarterback. So you're saying I'll kind of let him get back there. I don't think he's going to pick me apart.
He's not going to run the sprinkler offense on you and find the right guy. And he didn't, especially when Booker got hurt.
Right. I was paying more attention to this during the Dolphins game. Has it been consistent through the early season?
I think that people have been a little bit, I don't think the Patriots pressure in general has been as strong as other people do. I don't think that
think it's been that strong?
Well, I think that people think that, why don't they blitz more? Why don't they just, I don't think that they've generally been a high pressure team. I don't think they've been about getting a lot of sacks and
this
whatnot.
Year or in general?
In general.
Oh, okay.
In general. I mean, I know that they have, they seem to get them in bunches. You know, it's like that Cincinnati game where all of a sudden, you know, they get four in a span of like seven pass plays, you know, and you look at it and that's deceiving. It makes
a lot of
it
is when they set it up themselves by getting the game to sway in their direction by getting a lead and forcing the other team to pass, and then you know they're going to throw and you can kind of, as they say, pin your ears back.
But mentally, don't you look at it as like, when if you watch that game against the Bengals, Andy, and you see, I think it was four in seven plays they got. They had four sacks in the game, and they came in a span of seven plays over two series. Now, if you got one a quarter, didn't it look like more?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It appears as if like you're watching, like, oh, my God, is he going down on every play? Well, really, he spent the first three quarters not even getting a grass stain on his uniform.
Put some perspective on it. Fred Kirsch, after Jarvis Green's three-sack performance and then another sack against the Dolphins, came to calling him what? Garbage Time Green or something?
Yeah, Garbage Green.
And he's Mr. Positive and would love to promote, you know, somebody as the next great pass rusher. So, yeah, they haven't had a ton of, I think Jarvis leads the team with, what, four and a half. Rosie Colvin hasn't done much of late. Mike Vrabel hasn't done much.
I think Vrabel's been a little quiet.
I think he's had a disappointing year. I said it in the press box right about the time I put my preseason predictions in that said he was the most underrated defensive player in the NFL. He suddenly can't get any pressure on the quarterback and has missed more open field tackles than he should be. So I don't really know what's happened to him, but I think he's been a disappointment defensively through the first five games.
Yeah, I don't know if it's anything game plan related or anything like that, but he hasn't shown up as much as we're accustomed to seeing Mike Vrabel in the past. I agree with you.
Been on the outside a lot. I was stuck on the inside. Maybe, can't make as many plays in there.
Maybe he's been asked to do more, you know, jamming receivers and, you know, dropping into those shallow zones than getting
excuses
after.
Excuses for your boy, huh?
No, he is my boy, but I'm not making excuses for him. I don't think he's been as active as he has been in the past.
Josh from Burlington, Vermont, closes by saying, another Dartmouth High grad. Whoopee!
Wow.
John in Grand Junction, Colorado.
Are we ready for a
that
break,
anywhere near South Park? No. We won't take a break till Fred gets down here. I don't know where he is. Does he know he's coming down?
We have sponsors that we need to take care of.
Ew. Could we be doing our picks without Fred this week? Is there a chance that we've never seen him and won't see him? We'll keep going with a couple more emails before we get to a break. As I said, John in Grand Junction, Colorado wants to talk about Patrick Pass. Guys, what do you think will happen when Pass is ready to come off the PUP? It would be a shame to release Heath Evans. Do you think there are enough roster spots for Dylan, Maroney, Falk, Evans, Pass, and Mills? Maybe Mills or Pass go to IR, or does Pass just get released? I'm interested in hearing your opinion.
Well, it looks like right now that Pass will simply be activated when he's able. I mean, they have a roster spot open. He's eligible to start practicing next Tuesday.
Do you think he will?
17th, I think he will. Based on Bill's comments the other day, let's say on Wednesday, when he was asked, no, it was maybe Tuesday, he was asked about, you know, that window opening up and whatnot. And, you know, the window begins on the 17th. He can practice, and he said he was making progress, coming along, blah, blah, blah. Certainly seemed to say, didn't you get the impression that he would be ready to go?
Yes. But
now something could happen. They could have an injury somewhere else that's going to necessitate a roster move. You know, let's just say, for argument's sake, that
Garrett Mills pulls a hamstring and goes on IR.
Well, not something even like that, but let's just say, you know, you lose Chad Jackson and Doug Gabriel to hamstring pulls. And they're not IR hamstring pulls, but now you have to add a guy to play wide receiver. You know what I'm saying?
Word.
You know, something could happen. I mean, it's the bye week. You're not playing a game, but there's still some practice going on and whatnot. Who knows?
Okay, up next is Tom from Nottingham, England, one of our readers and listeners from across the pond, as we all like to say over here.
England, England.
What?
Go ahead.
What are you singing?
Hair. You probably never even heard of Hair, the musical.
I think I've heard of it, but I've definitely never seen it.
It's actually Manchester, England. I substituted Nottingham.
Oh, good. You're big at the theater, I guess. Hi, guys. First things off, I'm very happy with going into the bye 4-1, along with others expected to be 3-2, so I can't complain. A couple of things I would like to ask. One, would the team ever use one of the first-round draft picks to bring in a well-established receiver, even if it is to only add depth to the position?
Like who?
Jerry Porter, Randy Moss. He doesn't say this. I'm just throwing stuff out there.
I don't think so, no.
Okay. I don't need, I mean, first, certainly not just to add depth. I mean, if you add a, well, if you trade saying. A first round pick, you expecting that guy to come in, start, contribute. I mean, as I've said in the past, this team doesn't really miss on first round picks. The worst miss might be Daniel Graham. When they draft a guy to be a first round pick, he generally come in, starts, fills a role, and is a strong contributor on this team.
And I just don't think, this is as nearly as big a problem as everybody else does. Let's put it that way.
WebRadioPatriots.com. WebRadioPatriots.com if you want to join us. Tom's second question. More of general NFL question. Why is it that players over here in England can't make it in the league? Are the players really bad, or do scouts not keep an eye out on this side of the pond? Thanks, and keep up the good work. Scott McCree has had
Speedy
quite a nice
Scotland.
Little career for himself.
Yeah, I don't know
that's
where.
Not the same thing.
I don't know
no
where
offense.
The.
Well, I think
know,
it's quite clear
where the state of football is. In
they play England. Soccer all their lives, which is a pansy sport.
Oh,
they can't make the transition to a physical contact and intellectual game like the National Football League.
Right.
Right. I watch a little World Cup soccer. I see these pansies diving all over the field, faking injuries. Guy grabs his hamstring like Patrick Pass and needs a stretcher to come off the field. I mean, it's an embarrassment to athletics in general.
I've fallen, and I can't get up.
I was looking for the gunshot on that one, actually.
What, for Patrick Cass getting shot?
Getting
dropping
shot.
The ball?
Yes.
Still fans, by the way, who remember that. Not just people like me. Superfan Chris Ferreira, our webmaster, still holds it against Patrick Pass that he dropped that ball. And that says a lot about how damaging that was to Patrick Pass's career.
Probably not quite to the extent that you
no.
do.
No, I mean, as I said,
that you
as I said, I would have cut him on the spot and peeled the jersey off his back, kicked him to the sideline, and never worried
point.
Again.
Case in point about the maliciousness there, Tom?
Bob Lee checking in. You know, he's got
not
a few minutes.
From ESPN?
No, it is the same one.
Oh, okay.
He's got a few minutes away from the outside the lines desk, and he wants to talk about Tom Brady's records. Gentlemen, which of Tom's records do you think has a chance of never being broken? One. From the start of a playoff career to go 10-0 as a starting quarterback. Two, from the start of a career to throw his first interception on his 162nd throw from the start of a career. Three, go 6-0 in overtime in the regular season. Four, most passes in a Super Bowl, 32. Five, youngest starting quarterback to win three Super Bowls, 27 years, 6 months. That's Bob in Regina, Canada.
Which one would be least likely? The last one.
I agree.
All the other ones are kind of fluky kind of things.
And anything that's statistical, that's kind of easy.
Right. Anybody could
sooner
yeah.
or later it happens.
Exactly.
But
to win
you're talking about three seasons of
Super
Bowls.
Super Bowls. You have to be on the best team in football three times that quickly in your career.
Right. At the age of 27, I mean,
that's
pretty tough.
That's pretty unlikely to happen again.
Word. We're
I mean, I'm not
going
to say that anything is not never going to be broken, but I, you know, you ask me which one is the least likely, I would pick that one.
pumping through the last few emails here. First hour of PFW in progress. Fred Kirsch is in his leather chair taking a nap, getting ready to make his picks, coming off a big week. Tom Casale is silently playing with his joystick over in the corner. Paul and I will finish up these emails. This is, what the hell is this? I feel like Fred Kirsch. Michael.
I was gonna say, Fred gets better and better every week when someone else hosts.
Mike from Columbus. Oh, nice. I was reading his name in the from part, and it was a lot longer. Andy, Paul, some random thoughts on the receivers. One.
Love it. Random thoughts.
I agree with your view on the development of Chad Jackson being the key to having a top-tier passing game this year. I'm not worried about Brady holding up his end of the deal. That's a very sane thought from you, unlike many of your fellow Patriots fans.
Many of them.
Huh?
Yeah, you're right. Many. We've been attacked this week in that department.
Two. Rishay Caldwell seems very alert on the field. Boy. If he had been alert, he might have won a duct when that Chris Casavaranis guy was coming at him.
Or Kevin Casebehan?
Yeah, whatever it is. It's not Chris?
No, it's Kevin.
Oh. What's with the eyes wide open? Is he like that all the time? I don't expect him to be much of a factor in the coming weeks. Paul,
yes.
You want to handle that one?
Yes, his eyes are wide open.
What's with that?
I don't know.
That was the question.
That's how he
what's
looks.
What's with the eyes wide open?
I mean...
What's up with that?
It's like saying, what's with that guy's nose? I mean, that's his facial feature. His eyes are open. I don't know. I don't really understand.
What causes that?
I don't know.
Your wife's a nurse. You got nothing.
Maybe he's related to Marty Feldman.
Or Andrea Kramer.
Or Andrea Kramer would be another one.
She's like that. Imagine if they did a sideline interview together. Ooh, that'd be scary. Be like a horror movie. Three. Being a Patriots fan by birth and an Ohio State Buckeyes fan by marriage, I can't help but envisioning how nice Ted Ginn would look for the Patriots returning punts, kickoffs, and providing a deep threat. Also, Anthony Gonzalez in the slot. I'd take them both. They're both juniors, though. Yeah. I don't like that Gonzalez guy. I don't like anybody who just runs around and takes advantage of the fact that there's a really good guy on the other side of the field to catch 10 balls and do all that crap. But by the way, Tom, you want to check in and give Mike your prediction for the weekend?
Oh, yeah. Ohio State, big.
Book it, baby.
It's Michigan State has quit on their coach. You could see that after the Notre Dame game. They haven't covered three games in a row. They got whooped by Michigan, even though Lloyd Carr was being Lloyd Carr and ran the ball 15 straight times with the worst running back in college football.
Shots at the heart, boy.
Ohio State will put on a Heisman Trophy display this week.
Hey, Jen's not around anymore.
Yeah.
Oh, well, he stinks. Mike Hart stinks. Troy Smith will put on a Heisman performance. Look at a 52-10 type of game. I don't really got anything strong in the pros, but this is the college game.
Book it, Mike.
Ohio State, big.
Ohio State, big. Your wife is going to be very, very happy.
Maybe we can get James to pick Ohio State.
Who's James?
No, the iPod guy.
Oh, the iPod guy.
Oh, that's who I thought I was talking to.
No, that was Mike. Oh. He was just an Ohio State fan, and I knew
Mike,
you were predicting a big win.
Ohio State's going to win.
Yeah, he's just an Ohio State guy. And our last email before we get to a break, Brian in Colorado. What can you tell us about the progress of players like Pierre Woods, Lakeven Smith, etc.? Will any of these guys help us this year as either injury replacements or players who show they can step in and provide a blow for players currently playing each week?
Hell no.
I have nothing.
Tom, you're usually the bottom of the roster practice squad type guy.
I was just waiting for someone to say no.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, how do you know what kind
of
progress?
Not Lakeven Smith, maybe Pierre Woods in some random special teams role.
We can't watch practice. We have a 20-minute window where they stretch.
Right.
So we don't see them practice.
We're basically going on what we saw in training camp and preseason.
And they should be better
by
now.
I'll tell you specifically in training camp, I didn't see a whole lot of Pierre Woods. I didn't really notice him. But Smith, I thought he had some opportunities because there was some defensive linemen periodically out throughout camp. And he had opportunities to run with some of the higher levels, the ones and the twos. And I thought that he showed some promise. He looked like he had some versatility to play in that system.
Brian closes out his email by saying, P.S., Grand Junction is almost in Utah. Apparently, people just assume now that I'm the idiot host, and when the guy from Palm Bay comes, I go, anybody know where Palm Bay is? And so he just gave me a little information. Grand Junction, almost in Utah, in case you ever wondered. All right?
What state is it in?
Colorado.
Oh, okay.
But it's almost in Utah.
Okay, I hear you.
You know what I'm saying there?
I hear you.
That's going to do it for the first hour of PFW in Progress. After this quick break, we'll be back and we'll go around the league with our picks for the coming weekend.
Hey, sweetie, when I picked up the dry cleaning today, I put 43 cents into our savings.
I'll alert the media.
Introducing Keep the Change from Bank of America.
And at lunch, I put away 61 cents.
Really? That much?
Each time you buy something with your Bank of America Visa check card, we round up the amount to the next dollar and transfer your change from your checking to your savings account.
I checked online, and so far we've saved $2.25.
Wow. A whole $2.25.
Try $225.
Oh.
Plus, we'll match 100% of your Keep the Change savings for the first 3 months and continue matching 5% up to $250 a year.
I'm back from the store. Just saved 8 cents.
I'll alert the media.
Open a checking account and keep the change. Only at Bank of America. Higher standards. Match paid annually after anniversary of enrollment. Savings accounts include regular savings with annual percentage yield of 0.5%. Member FDIC. Patent pending.
When you got a Ryman-sized hunger and want the awesome authentic taste of Gillette Stadium in your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sack Attack sausages, first down franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot Sack Attack sausages, Patriots cheese bots and beer bots, first down franks and more. With Patriots Gridiron Grillers, you don't have to wait for the game for that great stadium taste. Gridiron Grillers are available at Agar and CNS Wholesalers, Big Y, DeMuda's Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Rich Brothers Sudbury Farms, Shaw's, Stop and Shop, and at your local supermarket. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
It's here at your local Ford store. Comprehensive coverage on every vehicle we sell. That's right, Ford stands behind every 2006 model with a 5-year, 60,000-mile powertrain extended service contract at no extra charge. Every Mustang, every 500, every Freestyle, every Explorer, even every F-Series truck. Every new 2006 Ford vehicle comes with a 5-year, 60,000-mile powertrain extended service contract at no extra charge. That's security. Plus, right now you can get 0% financing on select Fords. 560 coverage, 0% financing. At Ford, we're with you every step of the way. See your local Ford store or call 1-877-4410. Ford, bold moves.
Come on, baby, let's go.
This is PFW in Progress.
Ladies and gentlemen, could I please have your attention? I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story. And I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen. Cannonball!
PFW in Progress with Red Kirsch.
Do you know who I am? I'm kind of a big deal. People know me. I'm very important. I have many leather-bound books. And my apartment smells of rich mahogany.
Paul Perillo.
I'm all about having fun. You know, get a couple of cocktails in me, start a fire in someone's kitchen, maybe go to SeaWorld, take my pants off. Anyway, I become kind of famous for my signature catchphrase.
Maybe I just drink to get drunk.
And Andy. And Andy?
He was like a god walking amongst mere mortals. He had a voice that could make a wolverine purr. And suits so fine, they made Sinatra look like a hobo.
In other words, Andy was the balls.
Andy Hart.
I'm the stylish one of the group. I know what you're asking yourself. The answer is yes. I have a nickname for my penis. It's called the Octagon, but I also nickname my testes. You ladies play your cards right, you just might get to meet the whole gang.
And some guy named Tom.
People seem to like me because I am polite and I'm rarely late. I like to eat ice cream and I really enjoy a nice pair of slacks. Years later, a doctor will will tell me that I have an IQ of 48 and am what some people call mentally retarded.
EFW in progress.
Gonna find my baby, gonna hold her tight, gonna grab some afternoon delight.
Skyrockets in flight. Afternoon delight. Afternoon delight.
All right, welcome back to PFW in Progress. This is Fred Kirsch. I just want to, on behalf of the organization, apologize for that first hour. So we're here.
You're kidding me, right?
Yeah, no, I'm not.
Okay.
Chris Ferrero was even. From what I heard. Okay, so this is Thursday, and it's 1 o'clock. That means we have...
Hey, Gary, can you go back and get that email that we had?
Fred saw it. Hey, if the guy doesn't like me ranting about T.O., screw.
Just didn't like you in general, period. Not necessarily about what you were saying.
Yeah, whatever. Whatever. But whatever.
At least he doesn't got a mob after him.
Right.
Who's got a mob? Oh, some guy. Did you read that other email?
No.
So one of your paisans emailed in and said, just give him the word, and the moderator at patriotsfans.com will be sleeping with the fishes.
That's, yeah, I heard about that, Tom. They're all over you, huh? Like, you did have some supporters, though, right?
Yeah, I read, like, the first page or two of them, and there's, like, 30 pages of it now. Who's going to read all that? I mean, I'm sure there's people there that will, but,
yeah.
You know, the person that I said something to responded back in the first post, and that's really the only one that I care about, and he has his opinion, and he's entitled to it. That's what internet message boards are for.
There you go. Okay. All right. I like it, though. You're drumming up a little controversy, you know?
A little bit.
Yeah.
The only thing I would say about that, Fred, is that for some reason there's this impression out there that we were harsh on them.
Oh, absolutely not.
When, first of all, we kind of buried the information.
Absolutely.
But they're mad because I brought it up and then didn't continue and say what he said. You know what? I'll admit that might have been a mistake because I kind of brought it up, and then as I thought to myself, I thought, you know what? The crafts probably don't want me to say the words that he said at that party. So I didn't. But they were vulgar. They were loud, and they were in front of people. That's what happened. I don't know what else you people want me to tell you. I really don't.
But the part that I didn't understand that I was getting to was John Tomasi wrote about it yesterday, and somehow there's this impression that, oh, it wasn't that big a deal. The PFW guys made it out to be a bigger deal.
Right.
I read what Tomasi wrote. It was a very big deal. A very big deal. And it was embarrassing. Enough so, by the way, that Tomasi had to write that Teddy Bruschi thought enough to take Chad Jackson aside and talk to him about it.
Yeah.
So was he over it? Does Teddy Bruschi owe Chad Jackson an apology, too?
I know people...
The problem we have here now is that we are now lumped with what Tomasi wrote, and by, you know, the fact, or whatever you call it, Patriots fans don't like the Herald right now because of things that have happened earlier. So now we're lumped with that. So no matter what Tomasi wrote, they wouldn't like it.
See, but they did like what Tomasi... That's the whole point, is they thought what Tomasi wrote indicated that it wasn't that big a deal, that John was writing that,
oh,
this was an innocent little thing, and we made it out to be a bigger deal.
All right.
And that's really not the case.
And, you know, and people in the organization talked to you, Fred, about it before I even said anything. So obviously there was other people who were there that saw what happened.
All right. Let's get on to what we're supposed to be doing here, which is doing our picks. Andy, you don't look good.
Why? What's
wrong? You look very pensive.
No.
No?
Well, you did come in last. This
well, did he? Well, why don't we go over the last week?
Fred Kirsch, ladies and gentlemen, just continuing his uncanny, unlikely romp through the this 2006 football season. 14-0.
Nothing could be more unlikely.
Another undefeated. Oh, my God.
What is going on?
I can't believe I'm listening to this guy.
I told you I'm taking the gloves off this season.
12-2. Second place for Paul and Tom. Andy, 11-3.
Why did the gloves make you suck for like 10 years?
And we introduced a new wrinkle last week, Fred. We picked by the spreads. And in that department...
Shocking here.
Fred came in last.
No. I was going with shocking that Tom won.
Tom wins Tout Casale, 9-3-2. He wins while...
Unfortunately, a lot of money.
Unfortunately, though, it's one of the two on the pushes that...
The money one. Yeah.
I was next.
You choked on the big one.
Yeah,
I came in second, 7-5-2. And then Fred and Andy were 6-6-2.
So I didn't come in last.
Yes,
tied
you did.
Last.
Yes. Tied for last.
Which is last.
But yet last.
You guys pay the VIG. You went 500. You got to pay the VIG.
I don't know what that means.
It means when you bet 11, if you bet 10, it's 11. So it's 110 to 100.
Yes.
So if you bet $600 and $600, you'd owe 60.
If you won six, if you
don't like push but still lose,
like sales tax.
Let's just say you have $100.
Oh, it's called being a bookie.
Yes, there's something in it for the house.
Bookies are like casinos, huh? They always win.
Yeah, if you won six games at $600 and lost six games at $100 apiece and lost $600, you would owe $60. So you guys owe
the reason
bid.
Why Andy doesn't gamble.
it's. Do you understand it though?
I mean, so, yeah, no, okay. I get it.
All right. If you bet $100, you would win $100, but you'd lose $110.
But let's make it clear, there's no money involved here.
No, we don't have any.
Just saying, if.
All right.
In that world.
Don't have any. Can't even get food down here.
Okay, so what's the other standings?
Fred, with his undefeated week, takes over the lead which is surprising because the last
he's
time
never
he
led before,
he didn't even get in the lead then. 52-22 for Fred. Andy is 50-24, two games behind. Then Tom at 49-25, and I am remaining in last place at 48-26.
Seems like we're always like in the same place every week, other than Fred, obviously.
Well, Fred goes from first to last, first to last. Very inconsistent, Fred. Put a couple of weeks together.
All right.
This is a tough week, though, so you'll have to earn your money here.
There's not a lot of good games.
Evidently.
A lot of huge spreads, road favorites.
Yeah. Don't take this as a shot, Fred, because we all did extremely well. The worst that anybody did was 11-3. Okay?
Okay.
This obviously was a very easy week.
It was.
I mean, there were
all the favorites won.
Yes.
Really?
And there were all. I think there were three people that went undefeated in the paper, in our picks contest in the paper, so clearly.
Fred, weren't you the one who said. Bought upsets this week or something? Potentially.
Yeah, I said, well, the way it's funny because the way Sunday morning was starting, all the underdogs came out with an early lead. I said, wow, this could be upset Sunday because every once in a while, even in the college game, there's that one day a season where it seems like there's a lot of upsets. And, you know, it'll come. It wasn't last week, but you watch. One week this season, the underdogs will have their day. All right, let's get to the games. Sunday at 1, Buffalo at Detroit. Wow, this is a boy high-powered game. A lot of playoff implications here.
I just want to apologize for the last 30 seconds of this show on behalf of Fred, okay? The underdogs will have their day. What's the spread?
I was going to say, don't I need the spread?
Freddie.
Oh.
Buffalo.
Dumb look.
We can do the spread.
Buffalo by 1?
By 1, yes.
Buffalo by 1. I just don't know about I'm going to take the Bills. I'm just going to say they run the ball with McGahee. I'm not sold still on Lossman, but clearly the Lions are still a bad frickin' football team. So I'll take the Bills both ways.
Well, really, all you do is pick the winner in this game. It's a one-point spread, yeah. You know, so.
I just saw on TV that Nate Clements didn't practice, so that's kind of a concern.
That's true.
Fred, you kind of made a joke about it, but if the Bills win, they would be 3-3 with the Patriots coming in the next week, so they would have a chance to cause some problems in the
absolutely.
AFC East,
I mean,
you know, if they win this game. But I think I'm going to go with Andy. It's the AFC, NFC. I just can't take the Lions right now until they show me something.
I think this is one of the
games where Fred's defense actually steps up and plays well.
All right.
I laughed out loud yesterday when Paul Perillo was on the big show and I heard Glenn Ordway say, but the Bills got a pretty good defense.
Did you give him
laugh out loud in my car?
And I absolutely did. I said, you're going to run it right down their throats there. You gave up 150 yards a game. And he said, well, that's true. They did run it very well against them that first game. And I did the same thing I would do to you. Probably not as mean as I would do it to you.
No, but, of course not.
You're making my point.
Yeah, I think Buffalo wins this game. For what Tom said, I just think they're a better team. And Detroit, you know, they're going to win sooner or later, but I'm not going to pick them because they're unreliable. But Buffalo's only going to win maybe two or three more other games all year. They're no threat whatsoever in that division.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Buffalo both ways in that game.
Just a quick side note. I'm sure you read this, Fred. You're big on Pro Football Talk. But I thought there was a lot of interesting stuff coming out of Detroit this week. Things he's hearing about the fact that the younger Ford
wants
to get rid of Millen, but the old guy and Millen have a great relationship, and Millen is kind of taking the bullet for some of the old guy's decisions to bring in Mariucci, to draft Harrington, some of the things. I found all that very interesting. What is he, like 87?
I also found it interesting that the junior doesn't necessarily get along with his father.
Right.
So that's too bad because Millen needs to go. I don't buy to him taking a bullet for the owner.
And there was the comparison on Pro Football Talk of the Gladiator movie where the guy sides with his general rather than his son.
Right,
Paul
right.
would never get it because he has no interest in seeing good movies like that.
I have no interest in seeing that either, Paul.
Gladiator?
Movie.
That was a great movie.
Not great. Next.
Ridley Scott? Did you see it?
Did I just say
that? He had no interest.
How do you know it's not good?
I didn't say it wasn't good.
We have no interest
taking lessons from Paul.
I didn't say it wasn't good. I said I just have no interest to see it, meaning I've never sat down and watched it.
But why?
I just, for some reason, it doesn't get me.
Okay.
I'm with Paul. Braveheart normally wouldn't get me either, but I sat down, I saw some of it, and I started watching it, and it was great.
It's a great movie.
See,
Gladiator goes the same way.
I don't see nearly as many movies as they do, so that means that I don't have any interest in anything.
I don't know.
You said I have no interest.
I didn't say that.
You said that.
I absolutely didn't say it. I've said a lot of dumb things, Andy, and I've admitted to them, so
no
why wouldn't
interest.
I admit to that?
You're right. You didn't say I. You said no interest.
That's incorrect.
All right. Carolina is at Baltimore. Baltimore is giving 2.5 points. Oh, no, wait. They have to open and the points.
Giving three.
Yeah, they're giving three.
I'd like to apologize for my boss, Fred Kirsch.
I didn't even have to look at the paper and I knew what it was.
I'm going to take the Carolina Panthers. I think they're the better overall football team. I think that they're
having trouble, though.
I think they're the better team. I'm not sold on the Baltimore.
Are they playing better, though?
They're going to play better this week, and they're going to win the game
outright. Okay.
So I'll take both.
I'm with Andy. Despite the sloppy, sloppy play from Carolina last week, 0 for 11 on third downs, 4 drop passes from Steve Smith, I feel Baltimore was in a very physical game Monday night with the Broncos. I just, at some point, Carolina's got to cover. So my guy who's listening, I gave you Ohio State in college, and I'm going to give you a two-team teaser this week. So the first team is Carolina. Move that up, getting 9 points. So I'll give you the second one coming around the bend.
I'm going to take Carolina both sides as well. The weather conditions had to have a lot to do with that game last week, and seeing the highlights afterwards, it was a pretty sloppy day in Carolina. Baltimore still, to me, is searching for offense. And the difference, you know, in the past is that McNair has made some plays at the end of games to win them, but they still have no offense to speak of. I thought it was concerning that Denver ran the ball very well against the Ravens the other night, despite the weather conditions, which said that you couldn't throw. There's no way anybody was going to have a good passing
unless
game.
Unless you're Joe Theismann. He felt that.
Oh, yeah. Until it got to the point where there was 2 minutes left in the game and both teams had thrown for a net of 100 yards.
Right.
But I'm going to go with Carolina both sides.
I'm going to go with Carolina with the win, but I'm going to go with the Ravens to cover.
Explain to me how.
Oh, no. Ravens.
Explain to me how that's going to happen.
Oh, never mind.
He got very offended when I took the spreads away from him, but.
All right, then you like Carolina.
I have to go Carolina both ways. Okay. All right.
Well, if you like Carolina to win, then you like them both sides.
Right, I do. That's what I do. All right.
That's the kind of entertainment you can only get here with
that
Fred
would have
Kirsch.
Been funny if it was the Ravens, because it would have to be a heck of a score for them to.
Right.
You know, if you get 3.5, like we did, we got it last week with the Rams, it actually ended up perfect. Me and Paul, I think, took the Rams and then the Packers to cover at 3.5. But at 3, you got to hope it lands on 1 or 2.
Just a question about how they do these lines. When they make it a half, you know, obviously you can't have a push when it's a half.
Wouldn't they always make it a half?
Yeah, why do they do that for some games and not others? Do some games they want pushes, or how does that work?
No, the lines go by the money. I think this is how much is bet on it.
Right.
Like, so
I know that.
it goes up by half point increments.
Oh, okay.
So it goes to 3.5, 4, 4.5,
so that part's kind of automated.
It's a fair question, though, Fred. Like, why wouldn't you just make it go by point increments?
Right.
And Tom is
right. That is how they do it. But it is a kind of strange deal. Why wouldn't they eliminate
I'll tell
the
you
top?
What. Yeah. There used to be a bookie I know by the name of Tom. And you didn't get too many sevens. There was halves all over the place. And Tom did pretty well for himself.
Okay. All right, we'll move on. This is the
next email from the FBI.
Cincinnati Bengals at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and Cincinnati is giving 5.5 in this game.
Oh, I threw out your Bruce Gradkowski thing yesterday, by the way.
What, Brady?
Next Tom
Brady.
Next Tom Brady.
I'm not going to take the next Tom Brady either way. I'm taking the Bengals here to win. I think this is a game they win. You know, they're a big bully kind of team. They bounce back with a big win
here. The Bengals are a big bully kind of team.
Yeah. I think they,
it's bad teams.
When you punch them in the mouth, they cower. But when they get up, I think they take advantage of their offense and their weapons. and I just, Cadillac hasn't run the ball well enough this year. You know, Gradkowski, as much as I like him, I don't expect him to go necessarily on a Tom Brady run towards a Super Bowl. So I just don't think Tampa's a very good football team right now. It didn't come together as they'd hoped. You know, they had an offensive line issue and different things. So I think the Bengals beat up on them here.
Yeah, I think Cadillac will run a little bit. I think Gradkowski will play well. But the problem is Tampa Bay's defense is awful right now. And I think Cincinnati will get enough turnovers on defense with a young quarterback. I'm with Andy. They're a bully. This is a bad team. It's one of those 37-17 games that they'll win.
Paul.
I like the Bengals, too, both sides, and I just look at it as they've had 2 weeks to sit around and think about that complete no-show they pulled against the Patriots, and they're not happy about it. They're going to come out and probably lay a whooping on Tampa Bay.
I'm going to take the Bengals to win, but I'm going to take the Buccaneers to cover. So I just think that, I think the Bengals, you know, the blueprint was written by Belichick a couple weeks ago. So
okay.
We'll see.
Or the Steelers.
At least you did that one right.
All right. Houston at Dallas. And, of course, Dallas is favored, and it's a big, big number. 13 points.
Wow.
I'm going to take Dallas to win because I think they will bounce back. I think Drew could have a good game here. I think that defense could eat up David Carr, who continues to have some protection issues. I think that'll always be his problem. Ooh, what is it, 13 and a half?
No, just 13.
13. I am going to take the Houston Texans to cover.
Okay.
Hopefully I'll get, because I think the Cowboys could beat up on them, but hopefully I'll get that last-minute Drew pick six that'll help them get the cover.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Cowboys.
No, that would be a good lottery card, the Bledsoe pick six. You know, and you have to pick six numbers.
I'm going to take the Cowboys not only, but I'm going to take Houston to cover for a couple of reasons. One, I think that the Cowboys could be a little down from that game last week, so they might come off to a slow start. And two, whenever I look at a spread, I just say, should this team be 13-point favorite over anybody? And with the Cowboys' defense playing the way it is, I just don't think they should. Like Andy said, they could beat up on the Texans, but value-wise, that's too much for Dallas. They're just not playing well enough to be laying two touchdowns to anyone.
If they don't beat up on the Texans, how badly did we overrate that defense?
Pretty bad.
I thought that was going to be a very good defense.
I mean,
I think it's a very overrated defense, and I've been saying it for a year plus now.
Shocking. Paul was right all along.
Yeah, but it was a young defense, so it was supposed
to
be.
Oh, he has.
I know.
You know?
Young defenses usually improve with good coaching.
Even when I tried to give
a little shot at the tuna.
I'm not necessarily saying it's the tuna. I think he's got a bad staff in Dallas.
Where's the defensive coordinator there?
Whatchamacallit?
Zimmer?
Zimmer. Mike Zimmer. He's got Pasqualoni. He's got Chris Palmer. He's got a bunch of bums on that staff.
Yeah, Parcells always needed that good staff around him. Go ahead, Paul.
Tick, 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 tick. I'm going to agree with the boys, Dallas and Houston to cover. It's not even really so much. I have concerns about Dallas coming off such a miserable performance, but more so just the way they play. They tend not to blow teams out. I mean, I know they blew out Tennessee.
They got a couple of turnovers in that game, too, that helped.
Get those. The way they play, they kind of, you know, and this is where I will take the criticism that Tom generally has of Parcells. I think that they get the lead, and then they kind of change the way they play, and they're content to win the game, whatever it happens to be, rather than stepping on the throat and putting the game out of reach. So I'm going to say that Houston sticks around for a little while and makes it closer. Maybe they get the last score and cover.
I'm gonna go with Dallas both ways, cover and to win. Houston has trouble playing in Texas, so...
They do?
Yeah, that's their history.
Oh, because they beat the Cowboys at Texas Stadium for their first ever game.
No, I mean Texas, the state of Texas.
Oh, all right.
Not Dallas.
Well, they're 1-0 at Texas Stadium.
Well,
they also have
what's the record playing in the state
of
Texas?
I remember that game, by the way.
All right, so I'm going to go with Dallas both ways. I think the opposite. I think coming off that game, they've got to play well.
I know.
I just
think T.O.'s starting to yap. It's coming. Everyone's been waiting.
I know. He's still talking. You would think
45 minutes in the locker room, yeah. As Andy pointed out upstairs. 45 minutes during an open locker room.
Does that kind of suggest to you that Parcells basically has washed his hands of the whole situation?
Does to me. He tried, and they wouldn't let him do it. And I think that he's saying, go ahead, you live with it. This is what you wanted.
I mean, he washed his hands from day one.
But that's
a bad
thing.
I think he tried to cut him, and they wouldn't let him.
I mean, he won't even say his name. He calls him a
player.
I think from day one, he never was going to be on board with T.O.
Yep.
But does he have control of that team?
No, Jerry Jones does, Fred.
Okay. Well, that's terrible.
He tried to cut the guy, and he wouldn't let him.
That's
awful. I mean, what do you want him to do?
If I was Parcells, I'd say the hell with it.
And I'm sure that he will when the season's over.
You know? Well, okay.
It'd be a better story if he did it this week.
We won't get into
it. I don't know if I care that much to hope, but...
Is that involved in the New England Patriots?
Yes, I think it's very similar.
In my pick, I'm guessing that something was done behind to get this team motivated for this game. That's why the number is so big, and that's why I think they'll cover. All right. Sunday at 1, the Giants at the Falcons. And let's see. Who are they? Oh, the Atlanta is favored by 3 points in this game. So basically it's a tie game because you get 3 points for being at home.
Atlanta by 3. I don't really
Thanks, Jim Feist.
I don't love either of these teams. I'll be honest with you. I don't like Atlanta's.
That's a reference to
offense.
The college coach who.
No, he's
one of those on USA, right?
Yeah,
like
he's
four guys that sit at the desk.
He's probably the most well-known tout service guy.
Tout.
And they give out like the easy picks, but if you want the good one, you got to call 1-800.
Got his game of the year every year. I'm hitting 85% over the last 3 years. No, you're not. It's humanly impossible.
Those shows are funny. I just don't know on this one. I will take the. What do you got?
Oh, I like the Giants.
That's not where I was going to go. I'm going to take the Falcons. I don't like the Giants as a football team right now.
Yeah, they've disappointed.
But I'm disappointed in the Falcons. This is a game I'd prefer not to pick, but I will take the Falcons to run their way to victory.
Okay, this is my other game for my buddy, getting the 3. The road team has won the last 10 in this series. Plus, I think to beat the Giants, you got to throw on them. I think their defense is perfect for what the Falcons do on offense. So I'm telling my guy, Ohio State Saturday, you go with the Giants straight up, you go with the Panthers straight up, then put two of them in a two-team tease.
What about the parlays?
What the hell's he talking about?
Two-team tease. You get six
you get
points.
Six
you
points.
Move them up to 9. So then the Giants and Carolina are both getting 9 points.
You get 6 points in addition to the normal.
Right. So you add it onto the spread. Now
you can do it any way you want.
What's
six or 5-1 or
parlay is
four,
taking two teams.
No, it's six
just with the spread.
But you could take.
So you would lay like 10 to win 30.
Oh, okay.
And if you lose one, you lose it all.
We're not doing any money.
That. No,
there's no money involved.
This is just
here.
For one person who's we're actually trying to help somebody. He's in trouble.
Yeah. Andy, who did you took Atlanta to win and cover?
I'm taking the Giants to win.
Obviously, obviously, I got yours. I didn't do a Fred on yours.
Oh boy, that's just needless shot.
It's just you.
I really
you got gas over there.
I have no
What's
idea
going on?
About this game. I'd like to even. I can't even remember what I picked in the paper. I don't like going away from what I picked in the paper, but. Give me the Giants, Freddie. Give me the Giants to win and to cover. I think they're a little bit better than Atlanta.
Yeah, I'm going to go the same way with that one. All right. Sunday at 1, the Eagles
stand alone.
Travel to New Orleans to take on the Saints. And according to the Globe, Philadelphia is favored by 3 points, even though they're on the road.
What is that?
Of course,
Philadelphia.
It's the Herald you're reading.
At New Orleans.
At New Orleans.
The Boston Herald you're reading.
I heard 5.5.
Oh, this is the Herald.
You just said according to the Globe.
Oh, sorry. According to the Boston Herald.
All right, what's the game?
3.5. Philadelphia at New Orleans.
Who makes the lines? Danny Ventura?
You sure it's 3? You sure you're reading the right one? Because I've seen it much different.
Oh, 3 points.
All right. Who's favored by 3?
Philly.
Philly's favored by 3 in New Orleans.
In New Orleans.
Ooh, do, 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 do. I am going to take the Eagles to win. But I'm going to take the points.
Close game.
Eagles would do for a letdown. I'm a little dubious about some of their offensive production to date. And I think they could maybe look past the Saints. I know the Saints are a good team this year, but people still say, it's the Saints, whatever. And I think the Saints will do enough to hang around and keep it very close.
Okay.
Yeah, no. I don't want to pick against the Eagles because I took them to win the NFC East, but I have to here. I feel in a game like they played last week, if you go against both teams, you're going to win one of them. I think them and Dallas will be a little let down this week. Plus, the way to beat the Eagles is to run the football. And McAllister's running well. You got Bush. I think they can run the ball at Philadelphia, kind of control clock and keep McNabb on the sidelines.
Kind of like the way Dallas did last week?
Yeah.
Julius Jones pounding it down their throats and the Cowboys holding the ball for like 80 minutes but still losing.
And if the Eagles get those big plays on offense and defense, then obviously those things don't matter. But I'm hoping that the Saints can contain them a little bit. And I just think the Saints are going to be a tough team at home all year. That place is rocking every time they play there. Yeah. So I'll go with the Saints with the win and cover.
Okay. Wow. Okay. Yeah, I am as well. Both sides, I'm going to take the Saints to win. Can I ask you a clarification? The Carolina-Baltimore game, who was favored?
Baltimore.
Baltimore was favored.
See, I wrote that down wrong. I wrote +3. -3.
Makes fun of me.
It's amazing that you wouldn't have any more of those the way you read those spreads, Fred. You're generally very concise the way you give out those spreads.
Tick, 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 tick.
This is a guy who picked the underdog and said, I'm going with the favorite, though, to cover. I picked the underdog to win, but I'm going with the favorite to cover.
All right.
I'm taking the Saints.
You can't all be big stars.
I actually think this might be one of the better games on Sunday.
Yeah, I don't like Philadelphia as much as Tom does, and I think that the letdown theory that Tom has is a sound one with the Eagles. And I'm watching McNabb, and I think he's playing great. But I've watched a lot of the highlights, and I've thought to myself, wow, some of these plays have been very fortunate. And I think at some point,
basket, baby.
At some point, you're throwing him up for grabs, and the free safety is not going to misjudge it, and he's going to make the pick.
Yeah, and especially in a game like that, Paul, because that's one of those games that lived up to the hype. I mean, there was a lot of emotion in that. You know what I mean? Like, that wasn't one of those games like you kind of wait for and it lets you down. You could see the emotion on both teams. That's why I think at least one of those teams will have a letdown.
All right, I'm going to go with the Eagles to win and the Saints to cover in this game. So I'm going to do what Andy did in this game.
You guys are expecting a 17-16 game?
No, I just
I'm looking for the push here.
Yeah, one way I'll
way to go after him.
What difference does it make who you pick then? What difference does it make who you take then?
Well, because I think the Eagles will win.
So go with Philadelphia and Philadelphia.
No, but then I feel like I'm right if I, because people kind of expect the Eagles.
Explain that logic.
What we got last week in St. Louis will happen once every, I don't know, 50, 60 picks where you take a team 3.5 and then take the other team to cover.
All right. Sunday at 1, Seattle gets back into playing football, and they travel to St. Louis to play the surprisingly good Rams this year. And let's see, what do they have here? Seattle, they have favored by 3 points.
Seattle's at St. Louis?
At St. Louis, favored by 3.
Seattle with no Sean Alexander, as Pro Football Talk says, God's taking a while.
Right.
Bobby Engram, who Tom just traded to me, an injured, damaged goods. We're looking into the physical.
What do you mean he's injured?
He's sick. He might not play this week.
I did not know that.
We're looking into the physical procedures here. We might.
Tom, I did not know that.
Well, I didn't, because I actually am. I have a strong opinion on this game.
I need to make a phone call.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, he has. It says illness, and he hasn't practiced, and he may not play.
Hmm.
I still think the Seattle Seahawks are the better team, so I am going to go with them. Use your boy, even though he's not having a great year.
Hasselbeck.
If you take away those, like, 42 points, not having all that great of a year in that Giants game where they jumped out to the lead.
A little bit slow. Yeah.
But I look forward to bounce back.
Fields in that game, though, too.
Big week here for Deion Branch. Big, big week. You know, with Engram out, he steps it up a little bit, puts a stamp on himself as a Seahawk, and puts up enough points on a fast turf.
Okay.
Yeah, I actually like Seattle pretty big in this game.
Really?
Yeah. Who's that guy, James? Who do I talk to all the time about the games?
James
Yourself?
Dyer.
Yeah, James. Seattle, too. They've won the last two at St. Louis. I think they're better. I believe under Holmgren, they're really good coming off a bye. So after that whooping they took at Chicago, I think the Rams are a nice team. I think they're going to be in the mix for a while. I just think Seattle goes on the road, gets it done this week. This is a very important game. The Rams have only lost one game, too.
I know.
And I think Seattle gets it done with the better team defense. Seattle's defense wins the game.
Okay.
I like Seattle both sides, too. very curious about St. Louis, though. I'd like to be able to see some of this game because they do have the record, but I look at them and, you know, they've played some weak teams that they've squeaked by. And I'm wondering, you know, maybe this is their first real test under their new, you know, their new leadership and see what happens. But I just think, I agree with Tom. I think overall, I think Seattle's a better team, and I'm going to go with them.
Yeah, I think so. You'd have to say that, but I'm going to go with the upset here. I'm going to go with the Rams both ways, you know? Hey, sometimes the better team doesn't always win.
That's sound. I mean,
Rams know a little something about that.
No, just
you know, sometimes the best team doesn't
36.
Win.
He's going with an upset. Hey. Yeah, wrong with that.
All right, Sunday at 1. We're still at Sunday at 1 games. Tennessee at Washington. Washington, big number here. Favored by 10 at home.
Ooh. I'll take Washington to win, Tennessee to cover. My boy Vinsanity puts up enough points here. But I would expect Clinton Portis is healthy, right? There's nothing, no issues with him, is there?
No, he's healthy.
Okay, I think he's going to run for a lot of yards this week.
David Givens out with a hand.
His own?
Big surprise.
As predicted in the first hour, Fred would get glee out of an injury. just not the injury that I predicted he would get glee out of.
Right. Did you get any more glee this morning when you read anything?
Who's hurt?
Damian Woody.
Woody's out for the
year. Oh, he's not. No. I like Damian Woody. He's a good guy.
You don't like Givens?
I like Givens. I'm not gleeful.
Yes, you were.
I'm just saying
just
that.
Laughing.
I'm just saying that history tells us that he gets hurt a lot.
Is it my turn?
That's a factor when you're doing a negotiation. Tom!
I'm going to go with Washington, but I love the points here with Tennessee. I kind of feel like they may be about to turn the corner a little bit. And they played the Colts tough. They played a couple of teams tough. The Cowboys game kind of got out of control. They brought in Vince Young there, had some turnovers. I just don't think Washington is very good. And if there's
going to
be...
I wonder why they're getting so... Is it just they think
just because Tennessee's
that
winless?
Bad?
Yeah. I feel if there's going to be a double-digit upset this week where the team actually wins, it's going to be Tennessee. So I'll take the points. I'm going to go with Washington reluctantly to win the game.
Yeah, okay.
Now I'm going to do the same thing as Tom and Andy, and I'm going to go with Tom's theory is, you know, when you look at these kinds of spreads, I don't think Washington should be favored by double digits over anybody, and I'm going to take the points.
Well, sometimes these guys know something, so I'm going to just take a hunch. I think Washington will win the game no matter what the score is, but I'm going to also say that they cover. So.
No matter what the score is.
Well, I mean,
so
no matter what.
He has more points, they still
I'm
going
to say they also cover. So, all right. We go to the 4:15 games, and Kansas City is at the Steelers. Here's a good test to see what Kansas City's all about. I think we know what the Steelers are all about, right?
What's Kansas City's record?
What's the spread?
They're like 2-3.
What do you got there?
2-2. What? The spread for this game is Pittsburgh is favored by 7 points.
Pittsburgh by 7.
At home against Kansas City.
We know what the Steelers are right now? What are they?
1-3.
I think they're a non-playoff team.
Okay. You know, Fred Kirsch and Tom Casale predict.
Very competitive, but a non-playoff team.
Okay. And the points are what, 7?
7. Yeah.
I don't think either team is all that good. So what I'll do is I'll take the Steelers to win at home, and I'll take the points.
Okay.
Yeah, I smell a rat here. I'm going to go with Fred's previous statement that people know things that we don't. This spread is too high for a reason. I got a feeling that it's because the Steelers' defense is going to put a world of hurting on that Kansas City offense and score just enough. I see this as being one of them 20-6 games. So while I don't like laying 7 with the Steelers, I feel like something's up here, and I'm going to go with Pittsburgh with the win and the cover.
Here's my prediction for the Steelers. The Steelers' season this year will kind of mirror the Patriots' 2002 season. They're 9-7, didn't make the playoffs, played tough in most games, you know, but they just don't make it. So,
anybody know an update on Larry Johnson?
I think he's fine. I know Porter is questionable. Joey Porter is questionable.
Larry Johnson has a neck.
He's fine.
That's what I saw.
Scheduled
that's what
to
I heard.
Play.
I saw a one-line thing that said surprisingly okay after.
As long as he's going to play, then I'll take the point. I'm going to go with Pittsburgh to win, and I'm going to take the points. If he wasn't playing, I thought maybe that was the reason why the spread was a little higher. You know, for Tom's rat.
That's what I'm saying. I smell a rat here.
If Larry, maybe they feel like that he is not fine. And
well,
because
if I was back in the old days, I'd probably end up jumping all over Kansas City, then wonder why the score was 34-0.
I don't have that faith in Kansas City that you guys do, and I think that the odds makers probably feel like one of these weeks Pittsburgh is, you know, Roethlisberger's played absolutely terrible football, and one of these weeks he's going to revert to his game managing, safe kind of self. And you know, and not put his team in harm's way. They'll run the ball and they'll make plays. And maybe they're figuring this is the week he's going to do it. As long as Larry Johnson's going to play, I'm going to. You know, I'm changing it because you know what? You can't. I'm going with Pittsburgh to cover too because you can't run the ball that well on Pittsburgh. Even if Larry Johnson plays.
Yeah, that's the thing. I'm with Paul.
What did
I'm
I
with
take?
Paul. Pittsburgh.
You took Kansas City.
Pittsburgh both ways.
Not to win. Okay.
No surprise, Ty Law's worked out a deal with Herm Edwards to just practice on Wednesday. So that's
no surprise he's leading the conference in interceptions either.
Let's see. Sunday, 4:15.
Really? No. Well, I don't know.
I know he has one.
I know,
I didn't...
Well, he has at least two that I know of, but I don't know. I don't know what he's doing.
So you get me for Pittsburgh?
Pittsburgh both ways.
Okay. Sunday, 4:15, Miami travels to the Jets, so one of these teams pick up another loss. The Jets are favored by 2.5 this game. At the Meadowlands. Jets favored by 2.5.
I'll take the Jets to win. I think they're the better football team right now. Not necessarily talent-wise, but better team that's playing right now.
Mm-hmm.
I still like what Mangini's done.
Except for the
done.
41-7 loss that they had, 41-0.
I got no problem with that. I like... I've been surprised with what Mangini's done. I'm surprised he kind of got people to buy in, and especially with all the early troubles and all that.
Yeah.
So I think this is a game they can win.
Okay.
And cover?
I'm excited to be a head coach.
2.5?
2.5.
Sure.
Yeah, I'll be interesting to watch this game because I think it's a big game for Mangini as a coach. They just got whooped. Now, can they regroup and come out and play tough? As I said last week, I thought either Jacksonville or the Jets were going to have a run out of gas, and luckily I picked the right team. I think the Jets will rebound this week. I think they're well coached. Their defense is pitiful. That's the problem with them. They can't stop anybody from doing anything, and they're going to lose games because of it. I don't think Miami.
They got Hank Poteet now.
Yeah, I don't think Miami's well coached. I don't think they have quarterbacks, and you know, I think they're a mess right now.
So okay. You got the Jets, both
yeah,
sides.
Both.
Yeah, I'm going to take Miami both ways.
Oh,
and I'm just. This is probably dumb because you can't really look at it in a one-game window, but I'm looking at the team that played against the Patriots both ways, and I thought Miami was so far superior to the Jets when they played the Patriots, even though the score didn't really indicate that.
Yep.
That's why I'm going with Miami to win the game.
That's a good one. That's a good way to look at it, but I'm going to go with the Jets both ways.
It's probably not a smart way to look at it, though, because you can't take it in a one-game window in a matchup against the Patriots.
But that kind of reasoning,
place. This is the toughest game to pick, I think, out of all of them. I mean, this is one of those absolute throw your hands up in the air on who knows.
I thought that Miami looked so much better than the Jets against the Patriots, but... You can't do that because matchups are different. We all,
teams play well against others. You know, you look at Denver. You don't think they'd lose a game this year, but they have.
When I heard Culpepper wasn't very happy about the quarterback change, despite what Nick Saban said at his press conference, it makes me a little nervous the direction of the team's headed.
That's a concern because that looks like a three-ring circus.
And
going
plus,
on
we
down
find
there.
Out that Saban's wife spends too much money. So
yeah,
that's a big problem. All right, San Diego at San Francisco. San Diego, I'm sure, is favorite. And it's a 10-point margin that they're giving them. 10 points San Diego is giving to San Francisco.
I'm going to take San Diego
at San Francisco
to win. Take San Diego to cover. I don't think the San Francisco offense does much against this defense. Chargers, very impressive point differential right now. They're like 31 they average scoring and 9 they're giving up, something like that. So I think they continue with that trend. I think Philip Rivers has a good game. I think he's really taking little steps forward to go from maybe they wanted him to manage the game earlier the year to make some plays. They screwed me last week with dropped balls. He's my fantasy quarterback. They don't do it this week. They put up 35 points.
Yeah, Marty Schottenheimer is like a bank. 10 points on the road, absolutely not. There's no way he's going to cover that. And I'll give you a surprise here. I think it's going to be a high-scoring game. I think Antonio Bryant has a big game against those San Diego cornerbacks, but I'm going to take the Chargers to win by around a touchdown and take the 49ers to cover the line.
I'm going to go with the Chargers, both sides. I agree with Andy, what Andy said. I think the Niners offense has been decent, but I think San Diego, in my opinion, has the best defense that no one knows about.
I agree.
I didn't realize they had this kind of a defense, and this has been over a month now that they're playing at this level. So, you know, you like to tout Buffalo, Fred, but I think this is a good defense.
I agree.
That's
not really
except
a fair comparison.
Paul, except in the final 30 seconds when Schottenheimer has Sean Merriman back in coverage 35 yards down the field to try to protect
him. This isn't going to be a close game.
Why was he in coverage? You know, like, why wasn't he rushing the quarterback?
I don't know. Why didn't he tackle the guy? I mean, I don't know.
See, I'm going to go.
Schottenheimer's a bad coach.
Because Schottenheimer's a bad coach, Sean Marion let Todd Heap walk into the end zone instead of tackling him?
They would have scored either at the 1 yard line.
Maybe.
He should have been rushing the passer.
We'll never know because he couldn't make a tackle.
He should have been rushing the passer. So you don't pay Sean Merriman to cover.
I'm going with Tom the Tout on here. I'm going with the Chargers to win, but the 49ers to cover.
A lock.
Yeah, I think this is
good luck with that, Fred.
This is the trap game that Vegas throws up there. You see that big number and you think, San Diego, they're so much better. But San Francisco hasn't played that
physical
poorly.
Physical game against the Steelers.
Yeah. All right. Sunday, 8:15. I'll bet you the schedule makers. Well, you know, it's still a huge rivalry. The Raiders at Denver. And Denver.
I'll take Denver.
Biggest margin of the week. 15 points, Denver.
Can I go on a rant here?
Go ahead.
This is the problem with the way they pick games. They're so preoccupied with these divisional rivalries that they think everybody cares about. Nobody cares about Oakland and Denver, nobody cares about the Patriots and Jets.
Right.
Right.
The only people that care are those fans from those individual teams. People want to see the better teams in the league against each other.
That's right.
But what about they have to play a game, right? This is a primetime game. They have to play something.
I understand.
So do you just say, well, maybe they really...
But the Raiders are supposed to be
Thanksgiving night.
Isn't that supposed to be the Monday night game? With the lesser of the two games?
Well, this is the Sunday night game,
right?
I mean, I would put on...
If this is the Sunday night game, then I drop that.
Right.
For this, you know, given this slate of games... I would pick the Giants and Falcons because
there's a lot of games.
At least you got the New York market and you got Michael Vick.
The Eagles and the Saints one, to be fair, you wouldn't pick that one because...
Well, that's the beginning of the year.
You wouldn't have known that. But the Giants and Atlanta would be a good game. You know, Atlanta's a decent team coming off of last year.
They love Michael Vick.
With the Michael Vick factor.
Right.
I had Michael Vick and Eli Manning.
How about Carolina-Baltimore? That's not a bad guess. Right. Not a bad matchup. Two teams that don't play each other all the time.
Right. Even if you had doubts about Baltimore, you say Steve McNair.
But
hopefully,
to add to Paul's point, like say you took the Cowboys and Redskins, which is a hated rivalry, or Green Bay and Green Bay and Chicago are a hated rivalry. Yeah. But it only matters if both teams are good.
Right.
Yeah. Like if the Redskins stink and the Cowboys are great, nobody cares about that
rivalry. Then it loses its luster.
So this, nobody really cares. You had to know the Raiders weren't going to be a very good team coming into the
season.
That's
my point. You can get fooled by teams all the time. There's always going to be a team that you think is going to be good. Now, maybe you guys are right. Maybe Tom and Fred are right. Pittsburgh might be that team this year. Maybe they end up this season 6-10 or 7-9.
But it was a guess.
And they're going to be late in the season. They could show up on national television. I'm not going to kill them for that.
Right.
Because you couldn't really foresee that them not only not getting back to the Super Bowl, but falling apart. You know, you can't envision that, but nobody knew that, no one thought that Oakland was going to be even a competitive team, let alone worthy of being on primetime, ever. Now, if you have to be on once, fine, but this is the marquee game. And
well, I guess Paul's not going to be working for NBC.com soon.
I said before I started, can I go on a rant? And that's my rant. I just don't think, you know, they have all these things with
the guy from San Diego is going to say, you know, get rid of Paul.
The guy that was upset with
my 9-minute rant on CO.
Yeah, you're right. That was a rant.
Okay.
But I just think that they have the whole thing with the flexible scheduling. It should be a little easier to predict which teams are going to be competitive earlier in the season. And I just think this is a poor job right here. Oakland stinks.
I'll take the Broncos both ways. I know it's a lot of points, but the Raiders stink. Raiders certainly aren't going to run the ball, I don't think, on that team.
And then when they start
passing it, I think they turn it over, and then their defense isn't good. So I think
Jake Plummer probably has a good game. They run the ball. Tatum Bell, some big long runs as a defense gives up on him, and he just goes to the house. So I think they put up a lot of points, even though I don't like giving that.
So if you're right, and this is another whooping, at this, is this the last straw for Randy Moss? Does he bark his way out of town? What happens?
I don't know.
He doesn't sound like he's going to take the bark my way out of town approach. It's more the, if you guys don't care, why should I?
Well, does he, what does he do? I mean, what happens with this team if...
They're a debacle as it is.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a joke. The coaching staff, with you're bringing back these guys that we make fun of. The owner.
Plus, they would have one day to do it, right? If that happens, they play Sunday night.
That's
and then
right.
The trading deadline's two days later.
Yep.
Well, I'm gonna show you the state of this team. I have benched Randy Moss on my fantasy team in favor of Jericho Kotchery. So that's how much faith I have in their offense. I think Tatum Bell could hit the 200-yard mark here. It won't be close. 38-0, 38-3. If the Raiders get over midfield, they ought to throw a party.
I mean, I have the same concerns about Oakland and how bad they are. Denver hasn't really scored any points. I mean, giving 15 points the way Denver's offense has played so far, it's kind of frightening, but
this guy's calling for a close game.
No, I'm not. I already wrote down.
I expect a good game here.
I already wrote down Denver and Denver. I just say, I
no, it's a lot of points.
I agree with what you guys said about how it'll get there because they won't be able to run the ball, and they'll have to throw. And when they have to throw, they're going to have some turnovers, and it's going to turn out to be a laugher. I do think that the Broncos will blow them out, and it will be my elimination.
I got to go with Broncos both ways in this one. Okay, final game, Monday night, 8:30. The Chicago Bears travel to Arizona to play the Cardinals in Chicago. Here it is, 10.5 points.
I saw
favorite.
14.
Who are they playing?
Arizona.
I don't like these lines.
I don't like these lines.
Now, here's another one where you'd think that the spread would be even bigger.
I saw 14.
I got 10.5 according to... the yellow box.
All right.
Boston Herald here.
Obviously, I'll take the Bears to win. They now have an offense to go with that defense. I don't know why, but I kind of like the Cardinals here. I'll take the Bears both ways, but my heart wants me to take the Cardinals to cover.
Maybe they think Leinart's going to have a good game.
Why would he, though? He's going up against a great defense. He's a young quarterback. You got to think he might have some struggles. They're probably not going to run the ball with that Brandon Gorin-led offensive line. Okay, so now I talked myself into a Bears both ways easy.
All right, what is this, like the Denny Green Invitational? When are they going to play a game on the road? They play like every week they're at home.
As Bill would say, for every game at home, you got one on the road.
I definitely will take the Bears to win, but for some reason I'm a glutton for punishment. I'm going to take the points and then wonder why when the Bears are up 40-7 and their backup quarterback is in the game.
When Alex Brown is juking people as he runs down the field with the ball.
Yeah, I'm going to take Chicago both sides. I think Leinart's going to be in for a tough day. You know, a second start, you don't even get that, that boost from, the guy's first start that you got a little bit last week, that excitement that surrounds that. Now they got a little film on them. They can watch, prepare a little bit better. I agree with Andy. This is just a really, really tough defense. A little concerned, about some of the highlights I've seen from Rex Grossman, by the way. His numbers have been astronomical. A lot of passes off the back foot, backing away. You see that touchdown pass they kept showing in Buffalo where he was backing up and he threw it? The ball was in the air for an awful long time. Going to be keeping my eye on the Bears' offense to see if it can continue the production that it's shown in recent weeks, but I like Chicago right now.
Stat of the week, even though I don't do that anymore because I don't bring the sheets anymore, found very interesting. Through 5 weeks, Julius Jones, Thomas Jones, 383 yards rushing each.
That is a stat of the week.
Might not be 383, but they definitely have the same number. Kind of pulled that one out of my butt.
All right, I'm going to go with the Bears as well.
Both sides?
Yep. Okay.
You just stopped talking.
We still have about 6 minutes, so I figured I'd get to some emails.
And all just right. Not talk.
Let's see.
You don't have another game?
No, that's it.
There's six teams on buys or something this week. It's crazy.
How many games?
13?
13 games,
So six teams, right?
Six teams on buy.
Wow. I don't ever remember there being a week when there was less
every
than 14
team,
games.
Can't go 50-50 this week, right?
Well, you'll just go 13-0.
Well, All right. TG, and did you guys read this? What's your take on Heath Evans?
No.
I like what I saw last year when the Pats picked him up from the Finns, and I'm glad he seems to be working out. Bob Duffy at the Globe has an article on him and the fullback position in general. Just wanted to get your highly valued opinion on the matter. Keep up the good work, and don't leave Fred by himself again. It's another guy I'll be looking for.
Tom Casale wanted to do a story on it, but Andy Hart didn't think anyone cared.
On what?
Last story doesn't mean people do.
Last story I remember saying I don't know about was the Corey Mays feature.
I said that's in the works.
Heath Evans, he's loving life.
He's one of those guys that you put on a team and he'll do a bunch of little things to help your team, you know, get better, and that's what he's doing here.
And he's one of those guys that makes the media's job all that much better, because you could go ask him about the punting game and he's going to give me a quote.
He's thrilled to be here. That's the best way you can describe Heath Evans. He's very happy to be a member of the Patriots.
Right, but Andy's point is he does a little bit of everything, so if you need a quote for any kind of story, unless it's like secondary, you can
I bet you could get him to talk about that if you really asked a couple times. Plus, he's befriended the moody running back of the team, and I think that's a good friendship to have.
Yeah.
You know, the team's thinking about cutting you, and somebody throws out, yeah, but he's really good friends with Dylan. Maybe Dylan will get mad if we cut him. Yeah, maybe that's the extra little bit that puts you over the top, keeps you with a job.
Let's see. Craig from Boxborough. Great show as always. Just wanted to ask what kind of preparations take place before you do a PFW in Progress show. A friend and I are starting a sports talk radio show at school and are wondering if you spend a lot of time before the show preparing and comparing notes, or if you just wing it and have general conversation on the air along with answering emails. Just asking for some advice from the best. And speaking of the best, I have to say that Paul and Tom is definitely the A-team, with
you
Tom
suck.
And Andy a close second, followed by any other combination, not including the name Fred.
Boy, I've never seen Fred take such a beating before.
Totally unsolicited, by the way.
No kidding.
Wyatt. keep taking shots at the first hour of the show. We usually
talk upstairs quite a bit during the
all
day.
All we do is cover the team, our lives are preparation for this show.
We do a two-hour production meeting, and then after we finish that, we compare notes from the production.
The gut answer is to say, no, we don't do any preparation work, but in reality, Fred's right.
Don't feel bad. The guy said the sound bites are hilarious, and Fred didn't read it.
Sorry, Gary. No, but I think that in general, though, if you are doing a show, you probably should come up with a few things to talk about.
And especially if he's a college student and they're kind of squeezing it into the rest of his life, which is like English and world history. And
yeah, he's got to remember, we're the best of the best. we're professional talent here. Not everybody knows the game like we do.
We make it look easy.
Right.
Well, except for me.
So
doing a show on what we do every day.
Exactly.
Right. Whereas in college, like Andy said, yeah, I mean, if you were doing a show on your day in class, I'm sure that you would have to do any prep work for that. But I'm hoping you're doing a show on something more.
Paul's going to come out with a DVD on how to do a sports talk show.
No, I actually was emailed today about trying to get into that business, and I said I wouldn't have the foggiest idea. I don't have any
what
idea.
What business?
The broadcasting business. I said, I'm not in that business.
Be a former player.
You're a star. You carry our show.
Let's see. Mac in Somerville. This question goes out to mostly Paul. What's your opinion on UNH's David Ball? Any possibility that he gets drafted? Sorry, I'm a big fan of 1AA football. And by the way, Paul, don't let people knock you down for being an unabashed Northeastern fan. I grew up going to NU football games because my dad is an alumnus and former offensive lineman for the Huskies.
Yeah, but did you go to like say and then root for them still?
Mac, if you're really interested in catching scouting report on your own, a week from Saturday over at Parsons Field in Brookline, UNH comes to town to play the Huskies. So that might be
Tom Casale will be betting UNH.
I believe that's a 2 o'clock start, and you might want to get over there and get there early. It's homecoming for Northeastern.
Seats go quick.
Plus, the score will probably be out of hand by the half, so you might want to get there quickly. David Ball is obviously an enormously productive wide receiver at that level. Recently broke Fred. I'm sure Fred, you know this, that David Ball recently broke Jerry Rice's 1AA touchdown reception record.
They mentioned that on WEEI.
Oh, okay. However,
is it Paul who mentioned it?
I don't believe that that David Ball is an NFL caliber receiver. I think he's a little undersized. I don't think he's that fast. He has very good hands. I think the quarterback makes the show runs the show at UNH, Ricky Santos, is a tremendous player at that level. He, too, I believe, is too small to make the jump to the NFL, whereas if you remember in the past, in my 1AA ramblings, I told you I thought that Ryan Fitzpatrick from Harvard might get a look
right.
because he had prototypical NFL size, and he did get a look. So,
right. Will get a look. He'll go to a camp somewhere, right?
Oh, I think they'll go to camp.
I mean, Ray Ventrone was in a camp.
But that's not a look.
A look,
look is like getting a year in the practice squad. A look is, you know,
if you get to
making
camp,
a roster.
Got a chance.
No, it's not. But that,
you
but
got
if
a
you,
chance.
If you go to camp and get cut, you're camp fodder. You're not getting
right,
a look.
But if you get to camp and don't get cut, then you're not
fodder. Well, if you consider that getting a look, he'll get a look.
Paul, why are you so down in the 1AA?
Very negative.
I'm down on 1AA.
Promote the kid.
A lot
give him
of people
a chance.
Come out of
1AA. I'm down on 1AA.
Yeah, that guy has a chance.
I'm the champion of the 1AA.
If you're that
cause.
Productive, then you might have a shot.
He's got no shot.
Making the league.
Paul's being
you
nice.
You never know, Paul.
Have a shot.
Chaz Gessner got a chance. Is that just because he was tall?
Hey, Paul,
yes.
How many players are there in 1AA?
Fair assessment.
And if David Ball was that size, I would say that he has a chance to hook on somewhere. I'm sorry?
I mean, there's how many? You can name a couple of players that have had success in, at
it's
this
hundreds.
Level, but you know how many players are in 1AA? I mean, let's compare them to another white receiver who came out in
yeah,
last year.
Yeah, this
year's
is a guy who
Mike
broke
Hoss
Jerry Rice's receiving
State.
Record. It's not like he's
they
just any
the
guy.
They throw the 95 times a game.
They'll got to catch it.
Oh, that's nonsense. Nonsense.
Morgan, the white receiver.
I mean, I look at guys who are productive.
Hey, Fred.
I like productive
Fred.
Football players.
How many Texas Tech quarterbacks are currently playing well
I
in the NFL?
None.
So they throw for 500 yards a game. They must be good, especially at Division One.
So they said about Steve McNair, why he wouldn't make it. Alcorn State, right, so what? They throw it all the time.
Again,
we make a new rule
the prototypical NFL size, Steve McNair, he had it. Size and strength, that's why he had a shot, and he made it.
A lot of little guys are good receivers.
What he's saying, of course, is that size matters.
Size
of course
matters.
It matters.
Size does matter.
Damn it, I knew it was true.
with that, we'll end this show. John Rooks here for Patriots Playbook. We'll see you tomorrow. Playbook.